Studios and the Drew and Mike show is rolling and rolling fast for Tuesday because Batmobile Barry Mel Guthrie's arch nemesis. If you think Monkey Mobile Mel is not going to be listening to every word of this interview,
shouldn't one of them turn in the Batmobile and get... The Joker had a pretty cool car, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And they can dress like the Joker and the Penguin.
I think they should have a drag race, and the loser should have to ride the Batwoman Batmobile, or Batwoman bicycle.
Batgirl bike?
Motorbike, whatever it was.
That'd be great. And then Kevin Adell just come flying by in his Batmobile.
I know, where did he come from? I wonder how long he's had that thing.
Didn't Brandon say 7 years?
Yeah, I think since 2013 they did a story about it.
Yeah, well, replicas.
Well, do they have a lot of other mobiles like Mel does?
It's a great question.
I think Mel... He's the elite. He's got everything. The Shaggin' Wagon. He's got the Munster Mobile. He's got them all.
Does he shaggin' the Shaggin' Wagon?
Just asking. Hell yeah.
All the time.
Mel's happily.
Mel fucks.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, come on.
That's right.
Show Mel respect.
Just let me do the talking.
Mel loves...
I think that is respect.
I'm going to fill you up.
Mel loves two things in this world, his family and cars.
I don't know which one comes first sometimes.
It doesn't operate. It's just for looks.
We have to be careful about upsetting Mel, because we love Mel.
He's a good family man.
I just was curious.
Facebook Live is brought to you by Death Wish Coffee. Boy, you could, if you had a Batmobile.
Oh, my God.
You could pull chicks like crazy with a Batmobile.
That's what I'm saying. What other reason do you have cars like that?
I think Mel really loves the Kiars. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a love. That's a love story in and of itself. That is a love story. Yes. As is Mel and the Monkey Mobile. Death Wish Coffee is the world's strongest coffee. God, they've got great marketing. I saw their ad on Facebook yesterday. And they've got this chick who's super tatted, dressed in black. She's pretty hot. And she's drinking Death Wish Coffee. And she's got Death Wish shirt on. And just, I get it. How many people are really marketing mainstream products like that?
Not enough.
Yeah, I would think that would be a real good way to go, and I think they have
their marketing. It's too taboo now.
I don't even know if it's that taboo.
I don't know.
It is kind of an edge, though. I mean,
edgy marketing.
I really think their marketing is outstanding. I'm not just saying that because they they purchased time on our show. Anyway, it's a serious brew. It'll punch you in the face with double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. It's got to be good marketing. Look at all the promo code bangs they're getting out of Detroit.
Really, yeah. It would be a good commercial for their product.
Not to mention all the people buying it off the shelves of Kroger and Meijer. They sent me a graph, too, of how the purchases at the stores are rising, too.
Cool.
So there you go. Here's what you do. If you want to get knocked out and awakened by Death Wish Coffee, go to deathwishcoffee.com and use promo code DREW15 at checkout. Save 15% on your entire order. Death Wish Coffee. It'll kick your ass. Okay. I want to mention that Mesa got a new server from the show.
All right. Cool. Good.
Somebody sent their daughter Jen over, and she's now a server.
She sounds hot.
How old is she?
She's probably very young and probably attractive. Well, of course she's attractive. All young women are attractive. Anyway, they had a busy weekend. We still... I can't get over that we can have 50%. We only have half the house. And we can't put people in our upstairs because we can't get enough people to work.
Yeah. We have to cover their $600 federal bonus until that runs out.
Go to Mesa Royal Oak and find out how you can get a little bonus for being employed at Mesa. Yes, we're actually bonusing people because we need people. Oh. Servers, dishwashers, kitchen people. Just to ring up Jenna over there, send something, and jump into the Mesa pack. I mean, you've got the Mesa 13, the people that worked all through COVID and kept the place alive, and Jenna the boss, and now we're adding new people.
13?
Yes, the Mesa 13, as I coined them.
The Mesa?
13.
I remember...
Wait, is that? Do they go by the MS-13? Is that like their?
Maybe.
Is that, yeah. Instead of Mesa-13, they just call themselves MS-13.
Do they get tatted up?
I'm pretty sure there's another organization that has that name. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
Mesa-13?
MS-13.
MS-13.
Oh, MS-13, yeah. That reminds me of a really stupid story from high school. When I was a sophomore, there were seven guys. Seven guys that got kicked off the football team.
The guy I know.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the season. And so they were pretty good players. In fact, they decided that the football team was nothing without them, basically.
Yeah.
So they started referring to themselves as the Super Seven. And like they would like do
really great football school, great school.
There was some silly symbol, Super Seven. You know, that's that so they would stupid. Say to each other when they passed and other people kind of jumped in. People are so dumb when you're 16.
Oh,
you're just
God,
so
yeah.
dumb.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I brought it up recently to a Super 7 member, and he had quite a chuckle about that. We were talking about the stupid Super 7. I was reminded of we were seniors in high school, Triple Threat Trio, and Alan, and there might have been another person or two there, were smoking some ridiculously strong pot.
Mm.
Bong-its. Totally stoned out of our minds.
Gee, I can't wait till I go to high school.
And the subject of one of our teachers came up. It was Mr. Ham, who taught us freshman year English. Mr. Ham, H-A-M. And I remember all the pop quizzes on the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Ugh.
And,
God.
Yeah. I mean,
Oof.
The misery associated with all that.
Boring.
And Mr. Ham... You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what his sexuality was. We would have probably guessed gay at the time. Not that I cared. I loved Mr. Ham. We all did. He was one of these guys that was tough, and he was very funny. He just had a real sharp sense of humor, and he was very bright. I mean, really brilliant guy. Anyway, we were all friendly with him. We loved him. So
gay.
We're so stoned, and I think it was Alan said, "Hey, why don't we call Mr. Ham?" And I was like, "You call Mr. Ham? What?" And so the next thing you know, Alan is on the phone with Mr. Ham for like 20 minutes, and they're going over all, they're talking about all this stuff and chuckling, laughing.
Was he grooming him?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
and then
we'll see.
Alec, he says, "Oh, Alec's here." And Alec gets on the phone with Mr. Ham, and they're talking,
talking.
And I'm nervously thinking, is Alec going to say I'm here and put me on the phone with Mr. Ham right now?
No.
I'm so high.
Oh, no.
And so, sure enough, Alec goes, "Hey, Mr. Ham, Ange is here.
Drew? Guys, where's Drew? Drew?"
He goes, "Ange, Mr. Ham." And he hands me the phone.
And he said,
"Why, hello, Andrew."
And I got the phone. I go, "Hey, Mr. Ham." And the next thing I heard was, a dial tone and gales of laughter. The whole thing was fake. And they were on the phone for so long. I mean, just really incredible.
That's awesome. Well done by them.
Oh, my God.
Are you one of those teachers that likes to hang out and watch dudes in the shower?
What a great actor.
It was they're really good.
Acting friends.
And
yeah.
I had kind of a red ass. But,
but
it was really funny. Those guys also duped me.
I love that the second who was the second one? Was it Alec?
Alec, yeah, and Johnny.
That he kept it going.
Oh yeah, Alec kept it rolling. I mean, it was like, wow, these guys must talk to Mr. Ham all the time. He might be an honorary Triple Threat Trio member before long.
Oh, that's great. That's really
next
funny.
Next thing you know, Mr. Ham will be at the box smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, it'll be the Quadruple Threat Trio.
Why is it the Triple Threat Trio and Alan, like as an addendum?
Well, technically the Triple Threat Trio is just Alec, Johnny, and I, because Johnny's mother called us the Triple Threat Trio because we hung out a lot, and we got there was a lot of incidents like phony phone calls that were recorded. And I think she pushed looking for a cassette or something, hit it, and there, ooh, man, whammo, phony phone calls. And also problems at our bus stop involving generally things thrown at cars.
Mm-hmm.
Paper clips was the big one, you know, just like, and ping.
Yeah.
And so anytime anything is vandalized or stolen of mine, I just assume it's just karma from the bus stop. And there was a police officer at the bus stop for a while after one incident. I mean, literally sitting there for 20 minutes while we just go, oh. And I think I might have talked about the other bus stop incident when Roger, who bragged about his father being in the FBI and declared himself to be some sort of special agent. And I think he had a badge of some kind. And so we were telling him, you're not in the FBI. You are not in the FBI. I don't care how many badges you have. And he ran away from the bus stop crying.
Busted.
And then the bus comes, and we're getting on. I'm going, oh, my God, he's going to miss the bus. And sure enough, I see him and his mother who had a beehive.
Oh, boy.
And they're, like, running to the bus going, wait, stop, stop. And the bus driver didn't see him, so he just bolted.
That's great. Oh, well.
Is that the Hall Financial Hotline?
Oh,
it
yes.
It did fire up.
The Hall Financial Hotline. It did fire up. If you haven't remortgaged in the last year, Hall Financial thinks they can help you. Call 248-308-5000. You can go to our webpage, Drew and Mike Show. Click the logo, fill out the online form. They go back to you fast. And if you'd like to lower your monthly payments, keep extra money in your pocket or maybe pay some bills or skip a couple payments, it's still a great time. NMLS number 1467435, Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. This should be Batmobile Barry. We saw Barry tooling around the Batmobile. There were pictures coming in from Birmingham and other places. And I really didn't know about Batmobile Barry. We looked him up, and sure enough, he's had that Batmobile a few years.
Who's that dude?
Batmobile Barry, are you there?
I am.
Barry, how long have you had the Batmobile?
Oh, I'm terrific. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, doing great. So, when did you buy the Batmobile? Let's try that.
A year and a half ago.
And
when I took delivery last January.
Is this something, because honestly, I could fantasize about having a Batmobile. I've watched Batman forever. I watched it when it was new. And I can't imagine how exciting it would be to have a Batmobile. Is it something you thought about for a long time?
I always wanted one, but I got a little more than I bargained for, I'll tell you that. Meaning
was
that everybody, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but everybody likes it. I mean, they really like it.
How could you not? It's the coolest car. It is so cool. And
you got to see it in person.
Bring
on over.
Actually, yeah, we got to see it in person.
I'd offer to today. I'd be happy to.
Wow.
Well, the first big question is, is there fire that comes out of the back? Can you turn that on?
Yeah. It shoots 4 feet. It's ridiculous. It makes noise, too. It makes flame noise. You're like...
And how often do you
really?
Fire that thing up?
Oh, not that often. I got to be careful where I do it, you know? It shoots up, like, but once in a while.
Yeah, you could hurt somebody behind the car.
I'd fire it up for you.
That'd be cool as hell.
Flattering.
Just for you.
Trudy, you're kind of a car buff. You love cars. Do you like the Batmobile? That's got to be a turn on to a female, I would think.
I would love to slide into the Robin seat.
The long line.
Yeah, I bet there is. Okay, we got to be talking about Batmobiles for a variety of reasons, mostly because we were getting pictures of you in your Batmobile. I think it was parked in front of maybe is 222 still in Birmingham?
220 Merrill, or could have been, last time it was 1,000.
Yeah, and I saw your hair, and I was like, wait, that's not Mel Guthrie. That's not Monkey Mobile Mel that we know and love. Who is this man? Did he steal Mel's Batmobile? What's going on? And then we found the story, and sure enough, there you are. But the Batmobile, one of the reasons we were talking about it was because we were thinking about, what if Batmobile Barry had a drag race against Monkey Mobile Mel in Mel's Batmobile? How fast is it, Barry? Because
I've had it going 90, but I don't push it.
That
was one time. Yeah. I don't do, like, pull shots or, burning rubber. I have tried that. I don't want to screw it up.
Would it burn rubber?
This has to be the legit Batmobile, then. The real deal.
I know. I could make it zoom really fast if I wanted to, but I haven't chosen to drive it, like, wildly.
Have you ever been pulled over in it?
Just once when I parked in front of a fire hydrant.
I would think that if you're driving the Batmobile, you'd be exempt from any kind of ticket.
Well, I think it's un-American to ticket the Batmobile, number one. Number two, I've got a license plate. My rear plate says Bat 1. But I've got a controller in the vehicle that I could, if a cop pulls out behind me, I hit the button and it turns to a legal street plate. It does, for real.
How cool is that?
Yeah, but cops are really good about it, usually. I mean, I've never had a problem.
So do you have any other mobiles or any other famous TV cars, or are you
a car, an identical car to the one that Tommy Cruise drove in Risky Business, the Porsche 928S, with those lights, those kind of bug-eye lights that come up, you know what I mean?
Did you call him Tommy Cruise?
Yeah.
I've never heard him called Tommy before. I think I'm going to start calling him Tommy Cruise.
Do you go way back with him?
Well, we're about the same age as we used to look alike. I got ugly and he got better looking.
How does he do it?
Tom Cruise look alike?
I used to be. A long time ago, they used to say that.
Really?
Well. A long time ago. Emphasis. But
I wonder how did your features diverge from him? That's unusual.
I have no comment on that one, but okay. He goes to the Church of Scientists or whatever the hell he does.
Oh, yeah, Scientology.
That's
it's
probably
crazy.
Why he looks better.
So have you ever had to deploy any of the parachutes?
It's a good question. I haven't. I got a 12-year-old, and he'd screw them up in no time. So I've got the lever deployed, or not deployed, excuse me, like prohibited from you. It's disconnected. But they're live parachutes. I've got two parachutes. And they're, I think, diced parachutes. They're supposed to be really good. And I know I can do it if I want to screw around and try it. But somebody told me it takes 2 hours to fold each parachute, and that's not my game.
But it does, you can deploy the parachutes. If you just happen to be going too fast, you can deploy them.
I can't right now, but I could if I wanted to.
That's all.
I'd have that on the ready all the time.
I guess 12-year-olds screw them up in no time.
No, you don't have a 16-year-old son or anything who could just see the keys sitting around and decide, Dad's asleep.
A 12-year-old.
Not yet. In 4 years, I will. they got to be careful.
Have you thought about whether he can just take the Batmobile to prom or whatever?
He's a good kid. I'd probably let him do that, but...
Would he want to? I mean, does he want to take
this? Does he even know what it is?
Does he understand the Batmobile?
My daughter's shy as hell. She won't be seeing it. She won't be seeing it.
But, yeah, I'm not sure the Batmobile.
I have a bat phone. I get the commissioner on the hotline instantaneously.
Wait, is it red in the Batmobile? Is it a red phone?
Yeah.
And it blinks the whole phone?
It works perfectly.
Wow.
Now, Barry, when I talked to you the other day, you took a little bit of umbrage when I said that Mel and Kevin Adele both have Batmobiles. Now, what's
replicas.
Well, Mel's a great friend of ours. We go way back with him. And
Mel's kind of a classic car.
Yeah,
big timer. He's got he has the monkey mobile. He has the shaggin' wagon.
Yeah,
is he local?
Yeah, he is. That's actually
Plymouth.
Being honest,
Plymouth's got a Batmobile. I heard
in Plymouth. He might be in Plymouth.
Don't
yeah.
tell me there's another Batmobile. Anyway, that's what got me thinking is when I saw you, Barry. I was like, doesn't Mel have a non-compete, some kind of clause that no one within 90 miles can have a Batmobile, or really it should be within 1,000 miles at least.
I haven't seen a Batmobile in Metro Detroit in many, many years. Maybe I'm missing all the Batmobiles you're talking about, but I haven't seen one. Not very many people have.
I hope Mel's not listening to this. Kevin Adele owns Channel 38 and the Inspiration Network, I think it is.
The Word, yeah.
There's a story in the Free Press and the News about his Batmobile?
He's got a Batmobile.
Come on.
He does.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah.
There's at least three in the area we know of.
Now,
but Barry, yours sounds much better than all of them.
It does, actually.
Yeah, Mel's fire wasn't deploying last time we checked. But
and I know that.
In an attempt to be humble, but I think it's probably the best one in the world. Next to the three that were actually in the shows in 66, 67, and 1968.
Where are those? Where are those Batmobiles? They exist
one
somewhere?
One just sold for...
The Monkey Mobile is the coolest car on the planet.
Excuse me, I just hit a sneeze.
Wait, he knows his voice.
No, the Batmobiles, this one's number 001. It's the very first original replica Batmobile built by... Fiberglass Freaks out of Logansport, Indiana, which is the only company in the world that's authorized by Disney. Disney owns everything bad.
Do plugs like that give you some kind of a discount or a rebate?
No.
I'm impressed. Totally.
Can we hear Mel's comment on replicas, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Unless you have it ready, Brandon.
Mel had some strong words about replicas.
Replicas.
Now, what are you going to do? What if you go to a four-way stop and two of the other stops are Batmobiles?
Oh, there's only one thing you can do, Barry. I race them.
It's a fire. Fire extinguisher or something. I don't know what
that's terrible.
Would you put your car on the line to race the other two, winner take all?
No, I'm not interested in racing it. I'm interested in doing.
How about if your son fills in for you?
No.
What if I fill in for you? I'll drive it. I'll win it for you.
I'm just afraid. I'm just afraid. I don't want to screw things up. And when they start burning rubber and that kind of thing, I'm asking for trouble.
Have you ever been in any kind of accident? Has it ever gotten scratched?
Oh, how weird would that be to be hit by the Batmobile?
Oh, every time I get in the car, I have to have a little talk with myself. Don't screw this up.
Somebody keyed, like, every car, and his car got keyed, and now the guy doesn't take it out.
Would you take your Batmobile on a dirt road?
I have. I have a summer place, and I had to drive. I had to go to Hell, Michigan. It doesn't go to the damn site in Hell, Michigan.
Yeah.
So I went there one time, and all 62 of them, the whole population came to look at the Batmobile.
Well, plus you have to take it on a dirt road to get to the Batcave.
Absolutely. And that has that thing that goes down when the Batmobile's coming so it can get in.
I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about it. I got a Batcave.
Really?
I put it in the Batcave. I threw all the old bicycles and plastic crap into the dumpster, and painted it white and put this black cool flooring in, and I got a Batcave. A lot of cool pictures.
Oh, wow.
What about
really Batman?
Barry, can you get to the Batcave on bat poles?
No, and that's come up in discussion, by the way.
Well, do it.
But it's not the right location. It's, and I'm looking at the Batmobile go out of the driveway right now. But you might be able to hear it.
What?
Who's driving?
Is it on remote?
I got a guy that works
in it
with me that keeps it in top shape, and he's out. There's a squeak that we don't like, and we're working on the squeak.
Really? A squeak?
Wonder how you got that squeak.
Are there?
Maybe you hear the bat horn. The new bat horn's coming.
Very nice.
The Batman didn't have that bat horn, did he?
I don't think so.
Spider-Man! Spider-Man!
Barry, do you have a cape and cowl that you wear when you drive?
I do, but I've never had the guts to put it on. I got a mask, too.
Oh, you got to put them on.
Got to turn the page and take it up a notch, I think, but I haven't gone there yet.
In all seriousness, you just got to lean in and go full.
Absolutely.
Full on cosplay.
You're not going to win people over who don't believe in this.
Yeah, plus, when you're at that four-way stop with the other three, and they don't have their costumes
there you go.
On.
Get your other three.
I mean, I have to tell you, I am concerned, because when we met Monkey Mobile Mel, he had a Batmobile, and we were enamored with Mel, fascinated by every word he says. Mm-hmm. And then the Monkey Mobile came along, and then the Shaggin' Wagon, and then he had all those other ones. And then I find out the same day, I find out that you have one and Kevin Adele has one. And I'm thinking, oh my God, are they going to start mass producing them? Or people go, hey, it's a yellow Batmobile. I hardly ever see those.
Yellow Batmobile? It's a conflict. I've never heard one. No.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that be terrible?
Yeah, it would.
So I want there to be some sort of non-compete where we can keep the Batmobile separate, and we never think there's another one besides the special one that we know about. Three of them. Oh my God!
The other ones I've not. I've heard of somebody in Plymouth that has the Batmobile, but other than that,
that's Mel probably. Would you be willing? You guys should get together like the drug lords do and divide up territory.
A cartel of Batmobiles.
Yes.
It's
important.
A good vehicle to use for charitable purposes too. It's really it really puts a smile on a lot of kids' faces.
Draws a crowd. Cool. It's so cool.
It really does.
I love that car. I can't see that car and not get a little excited even
you
at this age.
You gotta see it, not talk about it and look at pictures, because it's way better in person. I swear to God.
That picture of you in it is very cool.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, how
car
many How many points of attractiveness do you think you go up when you're driving the Batmobile?
A whole bunch. A whole bunch.
Are you married?
I'm not currently, though.
No. Oh, you're not married? No, and you have a Batmobile? Oh, my God! I cannot imagine that life. Unmarried with a Batmobile?
It'd be fun. Be a lot of fun.
Pretty cool.
People tend to like the Batmobile. I honestly got more than I bargained for with it.
Someone's
just about everybody loves it.
Someone said that you were interested in getting the Batgirl motorbike
for your.
I haven't thought of that, but now you got me thinking.
Oh, I was thinking about the villains too. Did Joker have a? Did he have a vehicle?
He did. Yeah, the Goon. I don't know what it was in the TV series.
I don't remember him in a vehicle.
Wait, what about
Whatever called the Joker Mobile?
What about the Batcopter or the Bat...
Oh, the boat!
The boat. The boat from the movie. From the movie was huge.
Yeah, the shark repellent.
I've seen both of those. The Batcopter, they're in Logansport, Indiana.
Wait, who owns that?
I think Mark Raycop from Fiberglass Springs.
Who?
Mark Raycop.
Is that the real Batman?
Jesus.
No, he's
he should have just said Batman.
He got cop added to his name. He got the copper. Chopper.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Well, here, Batman has his own motorbike, too, with a sidecar. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Barry, listen,
I want the Riddler car because it has question marks all over it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was
the best, Frank Gorshin.
The Penguin had a giant car in the movie. You remember that? Didn't he?
God, no, I don't remember that.
No, he had the big duck.
Oh, the movie?
Oh, the duck, yeah.
All right. Lame.
That's the new Batmobiles.
Barry, this is so exciting. We have to stay in touch because we do want to see the Batmobile. Someday we want to plan ahead and get our Facebook Live.
Are you going to be around for Dream Cruise that isn't happening because of COVID?
Yeah, I'll be around. I think I spoke with you guys on the air last year, but I didn't.
Really?
No, wait. Dream Cruise is happening, isn't it?
Yes and no. I think none of you. They can't stop us from driving.
No,
that's true.
Nope.
Yeah, or the other Batmobiles.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool that is. Anyway, listen, Barry, thanks so much for the time. It's always exciting to hear about the Batmobile. I mean, every time I get pumped. And
My pleasure.
I hope we can get you Batmobile owners together to separate somehow and make sure that there isn't an incident.
That'd be fun to get to know those guys.
All right, man. thanks for talking to us, Barry.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you, Barry. Day.
Thank you, Trudy.
Barry, that sounds great.
See you, Barry.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Batmobile Barry.
He's great. What a good sport.
He's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, there is some Batman news today as Michael Keaton will don the
cowl?
Suit again.
What?
Michael Keaton is going to play Batman again. Yeah.
No.
Sneak to
He's going to be playing an elder Bruce Wayne. He's not going to be the young buck.
Is that
Why
something?
Is there a need for an elder Bruce Wayne?
No one
they're
wants
doing
that.
The DC, the big DC. They're finally going to make.
Are they running out of ideas?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Honestly, I'm starting to get mad. It's not only are there too many Batmobiles, they really should get together like the drug lords and talk about this. But there's too many people who've played Batman. There should not be that many fucking Batmans.
Yeah.
And some call themselves the Batman. Some are Batman.
That's different, but yeah.
Should be conformity.
The Dark Knight.
We just had obviously Christian Bale and Ben Affleck play the two most recent ones. Well, Robert Pattinson, the dude from Twilight, is currently Batman. And then Michael Keaton will be Batman in the upcoming DC movies about Darkseid. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, plus, and then, who else has done it? Val Kilmer, right?
Did you Val Kilmer, Kilmer, George Clooney.
George Clooney.
Oh, Clooney. Adam West.
Adam West is Batman to me. And I know Maz feels the same way. Boy, it's too bad. We got to put Maz together with these people.
Yeah, well, see, I was looking at Ranker. You know, Ranker is, you can go on Ranker and pretty much rank anything.
George Clooney, you've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
Suckless.
And they have the coolest fictional cars, and this is ranked by just anybody who goes on here whatsoever. And the Batmobile is actually number 8. I was kind of surprised
by
that.
Everybody knows it. What's 7 through 1?
I'll quickly go 10 through 1. The Monkey Mobile is not in the top 70.
But it's the coolest car on the planet.
I know. I'm sorry. So number 10 is the A-Team van.
I got to put a hit out on somebody here who's involved
number
in this
Number 9
list.
Is Tim Burton's Batmobile.
The Monkey Mobile is the coolest car on the planet.
Number 8 is the Batmobile from,
These cars are not money makers.
Somehow, number seven is the Tumbler, which is the Batmobile from Christian Bale's movies.
You that one sucked.
You cannot have nine Batmobiles in the top 10 cars.
I thought it went for like 25 or 30 grand. It actually went for 125 grand.
I'm sorry, but number six is Mad Max's Interceptor, which is pretty
cool. That's pretty damn cool.
Number five is the Bandit.
What's that from?
Smokey and the Bandit?
Smokey and the Bandit. Mm. Number four is...
Wait. That's like a Firebird.
Firebird, yeah.
I'm just a Trans Am.
Wait, is it a Firebird with a B on it or something?
A Firebird
yeah,
on
it.
It's
going
got
on
the bird.
Expressway like 75.
Number four is Kit.
Kit's pretty cool.
Kit over the Monkey Mobile? Come on.
Oh, my God. I'd rather have Kit than the Monkey Mobile.
Number three is James Bond's Ashton Martin.
Totally cool.
Bullet's going to be one, isn't it? It's got to be.
Actually, no. Number two is...
General Lee.
All right,
racist.
That sounds great.
And you get one shot. What's number one? What do you guys think?
I would have thought Bullet. What year? Can you give us a frame? The Ectomobile, is that up there?
That was just outside the top 10. That is not in the top 10 either.
Wait, it's not the original TV Batmobile. Was that number eight?
Yeah.
It was number eight.
Number one.
What era?
Monstermobile could... I don't think so.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
There's a clue coming.
Yeah, here's a clue.
Oh, the DeLorean. Yeah.
The DeLorean is number one.
No way!
Well, that DeLorean's pretty cool.
By the way, anytime...
With the flex capacitor?
Anytime someone says clamp it, I'm reminded, I was talking about the Triple Threat Trio, the old joke when people go, what's the last name of the Beverly Hills family? And you go, clamp it. And they would grab your balls.
Great. That's fun. What a fun game.
Wait a minute.
Did you ever have a friend that purposely got it wrong all the time?
I don't remember. It wasn't a big running joke, but, oh my God.
Gee, I can't wait till I go to hikes. Well,
you know, I was kidding about the... these guys meeting and dividing up territory. I think it's a good idea, but I was kind of kidding about it. But honest to God.
Brilliant.
Watching Pablo Escobar more episodes last night, I seriously, seriously believe that when we have a problem that just can't be solved, you know, one of those like immigration or, you know, we have so many things like that. I would take like the top 10 drug lords, just get them together in a conference room in prison because they get shit done. Whatever has to be done, they get it done.
Yeah. There's a lot of collateral damage.
I know. I acknowledge that. But, I mean, oh, my God. Escobar. I'm still in 1986. I watched, three more episodes, and I'm still in 86. Well, there was so much shit up. They murdered two judges. They had, get this, they had rocket launchers pointed at this general's car. Hmm. And he changed his path and turned right. Otherwise, they were going to shoot the rocket launcher at him. And I think they eventually will shoot the rocket launcher at him. But anyway, rocket launcher?
Cool.
Can't they take care of some of this violence by a montage scene? Get through it.
Yes.
Montage edits.
Yeah, they could. Also, last night, this is disturbing, too. And I read this morning that his first wife, who he married when she was 15, she got pregnant from him.
He's canceled.
When she was 14. Yeah, he's canceled. And he told her... we need to go see a doctor. This is a little preventative procedure. It'll keep you from getting pregnant.
Oh.
And I guess he knew or thought she was pregnant. And it turns out she was. And they gave her an abortion.
Really?
Yeah, that was the whole idea, was he thought she was pregnant.
Here's a scene from that show.
We got to get you and that monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP.
Up to Mexico.
Then... Oh, this scene was so bad. It was so awful. I mean, the actress did a great job. And actually, the show's, even though it's in Espanol and I have to read constantly.
In Espanol.
It's, I wonder it takes so long.
It's still a great show. I mean, I'm shocked that I can watch something that long where I have to read it on the screen.
Don't you ever get mad at those because you can't do two things at once because you have to be looking at the screen constantly?
Mark, you don't have no idea how many times I've tried.
And then
I
go,
what did I miss? Oh, my God.
Well, I told you I've been watching Rami, and like half of it can, they'll just switch into Arabic. It's like, why are you talking Arabic now? Oh, no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it can be kind of a job at times. But anyway, last night, he had Virginia Vallejo, the news anchor, who's so hot. She's so pretty. I mean, I cannot believe how pretty this woman is. And she's banging Pablo, a drug lord. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, it just seems so unlikely because he's a schlub. He's a schlubby looking guy. He's fat. He doesn't work out at all. He doesn't care. He's got billions of dollars. So I mean, the fact that he would even have the audacity to make a move on her is incredible to me. But Pablo believes in Pablo. So he meets this young girl who, I'm trying to remember where she's from. She's from about maybe an hour and a half away. And her name's Yasenia. And she is gorgeous. Just really pretty.
Where do you meet her?
I think it might have been one of the parties that he throws for the community.
You like what you see, huh?
Very community-oriented man.
Yeah, well, that's why he had so much power.
So Pablo starts having an affair with this girl who's probably 16. And she, oh man, she built. Anyway, one day when he's in the middle of this battle because he's just had a judge murdered and a few other things, a few other little complications.
Busy.
All of a sudden he goes, somebody comes and says, his mother comes and says, Pablo, there's a woman waiting for you. He's like, what? Because nobody just shows up at Pablo's house. But yes, it's Yasenia and her brother.
Oh boy, that guy's dying ASAP. Right?
So she comes in.
Go home to mommy.
Talks to his mom for about 20 minutes, and then she takes her to Pablo, and Pablo's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Are you out of your mind? She's like, I had some really good news. And he's like,
oh, gee, what would that be?
What? She says, I'm pregnant with your child.
Go home to mommy.
Pablo does not seem to share the excitement. He's got a wife and two kids, and somewhere in the conversation, he says, I will not have a child by any other woman but my wife. No child will come out of a woman of mine.
I don't
want
to have a baby and then abandon that baby. I have the right to do that.
So he hands her a packet full of money to get an abortion, which she throws at him, and she goes off crying, and you know, because she was in love with Pablo. Of course, such a lovable guy.
Child.
So he decides he has to meet with her to discuss this. And he says, you know, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm really excited about the baby. You know, this is going to be great. And, you know, I love you and all this. And the next thing you know, there's a handkerchief with chloroform and he knocks her out.
Oh, it's crazy.
What? That's really weird that you would do that to this woman you love and is carrying this baby. And they fly.
No, I'm still sleeping, man.
They fly her to a kind of a back room abortion joint.
Lovely.
Perform an abortion on her, and when she wakes up, she's not pregnant anymore.
Oh, what does she think?
Well, she thinks that they've killed her baby. She's quite upset.
Oh, God, all this talk about abortions is making me super wet.
Can you beat me to it?
It's really, I have to admit, I was really disturbed watching that scene. It was, and it was disturbing. And then when it really got disturbing was when she's like fighting these two guys who are trying to shove her into a copter, you know, to get rid of her. And there's all this blood on her dress. I'm like, oh,
that's the end of those.
Yeah.
Did they get into his truck? Cause I know he really, really loved his truck.
Gets even worse mileage than a Hummer. And the backseat's big enough you can perform an abortion in it. Yeah, when you perform as many abortions as I do, which is a lot, because I love them.
So bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure that captures the spirit of this movie or that moment. But
anyway, just put her on chopper, blood.
I was just about to read a commercial.
Let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
Oh, man.
Enough time has elapsed.
Okay.
Too soon.
Well, yeah, too soon. I want to mention this because, you know, whenever I find something that makes me smile, I feel like, wow, what a nice thing in this world of dreadfulness all the time to see, you know, to be entertained by something, because the entertainment world's kind of stopped. And so it was a silly thing. And I just saw Paul McCartney and clicked on it. And it was a fundraiser for the New Orleans Jazz Preservation
Hall. Band. Oh, they're great!
They're really good.
I love them. Yeah, and I've seen them live a couple times.
You too.
Good. I'm glad somebody else is. They're fucking awesome.
They
man.
Were really good. Anyway, Paul is playing trumpet on When the Saints Go Marching In, and there's something so cool about this because it's obvious that the trumpet's not really his thing. I mean, how many people would attempt to play the trumpet on a song that really requires trumpet? But he does, and Dave Grohl is on it. I think he's playing tambourine. And Elvis Costello's on it, and Dave Matthews is on it. It's like, wow, what a cool fucking thing for these guys to do for this. And once the singing comes in, don't be afraid to play it.
I didn't know that. I'm looking for it. I didn't know that Preservation don't need more money. They do?
I got it right here, Mark.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's more like it. Ho, ho, woo.
Columba and a saint over there. Over there.
How can it be a Simpsons reference for everything?
Because they've been on for 80 years.
Paul McCartney.
There he is.
Pretty damn good, man.
Not bad.
Ooh, maybe it's not that good.
Does it have kind of a ducky sound?
Yeah.
A little bit.
What's up with the ducky sound? Hey, look, he played the fucking trumpet, okay? He's trying to raise money, Jesus.
How much did you donate?
What's that?
How much did you donate?
Nothing.
Who else was in the band besides him and Dave Grohl?
Elvis Costello?
Rest of... Oh, in this band?
Dave Matthews?
In this?
They contributed something. I don't know.
I haven't seen him yet.
I didn't see him either.
Because the rest of the band
Paul
is...
kind of stole the attention.
The guys from Preservation Hall.
Crank up these singers, man. They just...
Nail it!
When the saints go somebody's stepping a donkey.
Yes, when the saints...
When the saints go marching.
There's Elvis.
Oh, when the saints go marching.
Dave Matthews. You can't even hear Dave Matthews singing it, though.
What, Dave Matthews singing?
Yeah. Yeah, you can barely hear him. Isn't that bad, Brandon?
Oof. Boy,
where was Harry Connick Jr. when all this was happening?
African American singers, I think all of you
Brandon,
should be canceled.
You're canceled. I liked it. If anybody ever goes to New Orleans, go see that. Go to the Preservation Hall. It's so cool.
It's a cool video. It's like, you know, it's all right. Like maybe the song sucked. Maybe they all sucked. No. But the cool video is cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little hole in the wall too.
Yeah. No, it's
that's been
very
there forever.
Cool. Yep.
You guys act like it's McDonald's.
What?
Why have I never been to this place? And everyone else has been there.
It's just it's a venue in New Orleans. It's very famous.
Is there one around the corner?
From Bourbon Street.
Really, there's just one, and you guys have both been there?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty well known.
Is it?
It's very... I've heard of it.
I just never been there.
I think they've done a Super Bowl halftime.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. I could be wrong.
I think so, too. I think you're right.
Huh.
Must have been when the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, right?
Probably.
Which it's been like five times. Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInADD.com is all fired up because their community customers and the Zot team are excited to be back at full strength to safely serve your automotive needs. They're busy as ever and moving a lot of cars. And, of course, the inventory is a little down because the production stopped. Although I see they're back on three shifts. Full production.
Wow.
Full production. Anyway, they got some great deals at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Forward event. Feel free to go online. Enjoy their enhanced online shopping. They've got a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. Jeep's 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. And the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler. Get employee pricing for everyone. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler now. Speaking of right now, you have to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown has inventory drying up quickly. Go to dealsinthed.com and see all kinds of stuff. All kinds of wheels. And then, water. Oh, my God, water. Does it ever take a break? Does water ever take time out? No. It's always looking for that crack, that crevice to go through. Whatever, just opt not to? No. It's going to get in. It's just, water is such a bastard.
Yep.
Why can't it just go, it's just a little crack. I'm not going to bother with that. Otherwise, I'll make it bigger. No, it just keeps coming. So that's why Emergency Response Services Incorporated does so much business. So many flooded basements, storm damage, fire damage. Mold removal. I remember when it seems like I lived in a world without mold for the first 40 years. And then all of a sudden it's mold. Oh, my God, mold. Why did mold become such a big deal?
I'm sure it was around. Nobody cared about it.
No, but I mean dangerous mold, like that black mold that was killing people.
It probably killed people.
I just don't. Trudy, you remember there being a lot of mold?
No, I really don't. In fact, we had our basement flooded, and it drained back out, and there was no mold for some reason. Although we did throw a crap load of stuff out, so.
Well, you were very fortunate. But
yeah, my dad swam in that, by the way.
If you have fire damage, storm damage, water in your basement, or you need mold removal after the water's gone, or any other time, because you see those spots, those black, it's freaky. Call Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JOB-DONE. It's so easy to call, 877-JOB-DONE, or 877-JOB-DONE.com, and tell them we sent you. So there. We have a boner line today?
No, I'm going to get three consecutive days of boner line. So there'll be one tomorrow, the day after, and the day after. One of the things that I am enjoying, though, is everybody's calling in with the drops that they want to hear. So that'll be a nice, fun thing that'll be attached to that one probably tomorrow. So keep those coming. 209-66-BONER.
Any drops that you went, oh, my God, we haven't heard that in years?
Well, I'll have to get with Mark on some of them because there's a lot of audio that I have no idea what the hell people are talking about. I think a lot of stuff might be from like Man on the Street or stuff that was taken from local news.
Oh, like Fonz Keeps Loose Sweep, man.
Well, we have that one, but there's so
many
that.
That's local news, though. That was local news.
Just aren't available anymore because they don't archive that stuff on YouTube or anything like that.
I wonder what you're talking about. We have Ruth Williams, don't we? We have Ruth, don't we?
Yeah, she hates water, too. She likes water. Yeah.
She wants water.
Yeah.
She likes water. She hates Monica Conyers, though.
Somebody by the name of Monica Conyers, if you can't pay a $15 bill today, how you going to pay a $25 bill next week? It's a shame.
It's an insult.
It's an insult on our people. Yeah. And she needs to go.
Let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
Man, would I like to have her on? Is there any way? I'd love to find her.
Remember how remember our search for Ruth Williams?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We made quite a few phone calls. There's a lot of Ruth Williams.
Yeah, imagine that. Tons in Detroit.
What do you ask when you call them, though? Are you the Ruth Williams?
Well, just if she's if she loves water. If she she's got doesn't a like Monica Conyers.
She's got a pretty identifiable voice.
She does. Yeah, as soon as you hear that person desperately need of
neosynephrine. She needs to go.
You know it's her.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up this morning, and I got a lot of email today about Joe Rogan. I forget that a lot of people listen to us listen to Joe Rogan, too. And let me see if I can find... somebody had a great email. I think it was Brian.
Oh, is it about the other show?
Which show?
Let me see if I can find it. Did he send it to both of us?
I don't know.
The Fighter and the Kid, is that the one you're talking about?
Did you watch that clip?
Yeah, we should play that.
Oh my God, I was in tears. real tears. For different reasons.
That is really weird because The Fighter and the Kid, that's a show that I knew nothing about it. You know, it's two comedians, and they're kind of in the Rogan world, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they're spinoff, aren't
you know,
they?
Since I started a spinoff show.
I thought they were.
They probably are. They probably were guests on his show. Mm-hmm. Since I started listening to Carl on WATP, who are these podcasts, you know, he...
They have a new episode out, by the way.
Oh, Carl does?
Yeah.
What's it on?
You know what?
It's on Vocal Fries. I was listening to it today.
Oh, excellent. Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so funny because they're... They're breaking down a podcast that's very niche. It's specific to linguists and the English language. And then pretty much within the first 5 minutes, Carl throws out a supercut of like 400 like. So when it's a show that's dedicated on the English language, you probably shouldn't say the word like every other word for 2 hours.
Was he picking up clips of Vocal Fry from different shows?
No. The podcast is called The Vocal Fries.
Okay. I'll check it out. I'm way behind. Carl wants to do a segment, and so I want to listen to a couple of podcasts he was talking about. We should just do it and see what happens. People would like it.
So back to the email. Was it the one about Joey Diaz in particular?
Yeah. Okay. Here's what. Yesterday we talked about Joe Rogan, who people want canceled. It was trending on Twitter. And, you know, trending on Twitter, there's got to be a lot of activity. And it's a clip of the show. We played it yesterday where Joey Diaz is talking about being the gatekeeper for female comedians at this comedy club and making them blow him to get stage time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he was joking, but when he, Joe Rogan, whose eyes got real big, then he said,
you got to cancel the Joker for laughing at that.
Cancel somebody for that burp.
Well, it wasn't a burp. I'd muted because I don't.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Joey says, Joe asks him, well, how many women blew you to get on stage? 20. And Joe starts laughing. So, of course, it's cancel Joe Rogan. He thinks sexual assault is funny. I'm going to tell you, when you put out as much content as Joe Rogan does.
Yeah.
And we do.
Yeah.
You do. Yeah.
you can find a tiny clip of almost anything you want. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, we're gonna go through all these hours and hours of tape, and they get to 2011 and they strike gold in Joey Diaz. It just made me sick. It's like, I want to cancel the people that spend all their time trying to cancel people.
No, that was not me on the tape, but that was a manufactured, engineered tape by, you can do it by Adobe software.
Because these people are just professional trolls and shitsters. That's all they are. And, you know,
yeah, it's really,
and they never use a real name. They're always using a fake account like the Nicholas Sandman and guy.
I don't think they're trying to make the world a better place.
No, either. They're not. And so, you know, great. We doxed and canceled Nicholas Sandman. We actually invaded the privacy of a 16-year-old kid and completely trashed him. Just destroyed him in 24 hours. And then, oh, it's out of context. It's crazy. Well, do we know who put that out?
Well,
intentionally did it, by the way.
We do. I mean, that's,
we do.
Yeah, it was a Brazilian troll farm. They know that's been pretty well proven. Yeah.
Well, frequently it's somebody, I'm sure, who's right here. I don't know. I just wish, I keep going back to people who won't tell you who they are usually up to no good. And I feel like there's something wrong when we don't make it a crime to falsely identify yourself. I'm not saying if you falsely identify yourself and you tweet out a funny song or you tweet out. I mean, I'm saying when you're trying to do, you're trying to steal money, you're trying to do almost anything. But I think by making the false ID a crime, you put more attention on it. And of course,
free speech.
You get new trolls that turn in trolls who use fake identities.
Free speech.
Yeah, free speech, but can you use your fucking name? It's not free speech when you use a fake name and a fake account. That's not free speech.
Well, I mean, there's people.
You're not taking responsibility for what you're saying.
People that it's
nobody
pen,
really
pen
says
name.
You have to under the right to free speech that you have to take responsibility.
Well, I why are you so ashamed of what you're saying that you won't even put your name by it?
You're an asshole.
Yeah, you're an asshole, and you're going to say something way over the top. You're trying to stir up shit.
Being an asshole is not illegal.
No, it's not illegal, but shouldn't we? Aren't we allowed to occasionally know who these assholes are?
Yeah, it'd be
nice. And why are they? They're identifying people.
They're even real.
They're very specific about who they want canceled. Yeah. I mean, they will, and they will edit tapes improperly and so on and so forth. But it's never happened, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, we need the Star Chamber to go after them. They haven't had anything to do in a while.
Star Chamber's picking up steam.
Frankly, who should go after them is the platform should identify, like, hey, we don't know who this person is, or this might be misinformation.
You're right. The platforms need to take the responsibility.
Well, the platforms are responsible for nothing. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, throw anything on there, we make billions.
Well, they're starting to at least,
How long have they been around?
10 years, 11 years for
really?
Twitter, 15 for Facebook about.
It seems to me when you...
They don't have to.
...are a content provider... Although they escape all those responsibility laden.
Don't worry about it. Congress will get around to rewriting the 96 Communications Act probably in 30 years.
I'm telling you, the drug lords could handle this in a day. The drug lords would put an end to it.
Yeah, some people might die.
Some of these people need to die. There's not an analytic of some kind or some, what do they call them? When they pick up things because it's as an analytic?
An algorithm.
Yeah. There's not an algorithm and come up with it will tell you that an account is fake. They can't ever ever tell you when something's
fake. Absolutely can.
Yeah, but they want the clicks. They want the clicks. So they don't care if they are completely slandering someone or taking something out of context and finding out who said it. They don't care. They really don't. But
so a lot of it, they're allowed to do it because of that. There's like three lines in that Communications Act in 96 when the internet was being born.
Well, take your time. I mean, it's only been around 20 years. I mean, no big deal.
20 years. Do you know the 96 one? Do you know what that replaced?
20 years.
The previous Communications Act? Do you know when that
1934?
Was 1934? 34, baby. So 60 years from 1994 is when we might get a new one.
Okay, this is...
Well, they're
this...
reluctant to do anything because of the money that these people generate and the contributions that they make and
plus,
the power they have. So.
The legislature doesn't know anything about communication or technology.
Well,
they don't.
They're
all fucking lawyers.
No, because they're we 90. Just saw, 2 years ago, there was that hearing with Mark Zuckerberg where he came in on the really big booster seat because he was so small. And they wasted the first day just asking him basics like, where do I click? Yeah. And what's this mean?
Who I don't remember which one it was.
2 years ago.
Remember they asked him, like, well, how do you make money?
Idiots.
So you should know that before you get in front of the hearing, which is just bullshit.
You know, they never have to do their homework. We all have to do our homework, and they never do.
I honestly know. It blows my mind. The longer it goes on, the more it blows my mind. But, you know, meanwhile, we just keep canceling people and doxing people and, you know, accusing people of doing something they didn't do or taking one tiny, little, tiny piece of their life and destroying them with it. Something from, you know, 50 years ago.
Do you think anything's going to happen to Rogan? I mean...
No, I don't, because Joe Rogan has power.
Sure.
But a lot of people don't have power. And going back to Joe Rogan, I'm a huge Joe Rogan podcast fan. I've listened to most of the shows for the past 4 or 5 years. Just want to thank you for sticking up for him and for the bullshit that they're trying to put on him. He'll be the first to tell you, he says this often on the show, he's a complete idiot. And if he says anything about politics, should 100% not follow his advice. All those recent attacks on him are things that are taken out of context or stupid. The thing about the transgender shit was just him, a martial arts expert and commentator on MMA fights. He said that trans women should not be allowed to fight against regular women without that regular woman's consent after they know that they're fighting what is essentially is a man. A trans woman athlete is a person that went through puberty as a boy, has all the hormones to give them man muscles, and then they decide they want to be a woman for whatever reason. Fine by me. I don't give a fuck. But then they try to compete with regular women and dominate. Then when anyone says shit, they scream about transphobia and that kind of nonsense.
There's a South Park episode about it.
Yeah.
There's just such a lack
Macho
of
man.
Common sense when it comes to these things. Joey Diaz is,
ooh, yeah.
is one of Joe Rogan's best friends. They came up in comedy together. Diaz has been on the show quite a few times. And from that clip you played, it sounds like Joey was doing a bit. I'm not going to say that didn't happen because the guy's pretty fucked up in the head. But to me, it sounded like Joe was laughing at the punchline of that bit. Not necessarily laughing about the shit he's doing to women, but laughing how ridiculous the whole concept was.
Which is exactly what we said yesterday, watching it. It's obvious watching it.
Joe is one of the most reasonable people I know on podcasting. He has guests on that he thinks will be interesting. He has people.
This guy work for Rogan?
Who he's friends with. They can have a good discussion.
Like Brandon talking about Cameo.
That's his skill other than being funny. He's a professional conversationalist. He talked about how he practices that and prepares for it. It's not a fluke. He's got the number one podcast. He works hard. And I'm trying to say thanks for calling out these social justice warriors looking to take anybody down. I'm a progressive, and that side of liberalism I cannot stand. Thank you for calling out those, and I'm going to use this word ironically. Oh, those cucks.
Hey, there's a movie that addresses kind of a lot of this stuff that you guys should see if you haven't already. The Hunt. Have you checked that out?
Never even heard of it.
I just saw that. It's a new one, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty damn good.
I'm sorry. I didn't see it, but I came across it in when I was looking for a movie to rent the other day. I think it's got one of those dudes from This Is Us. So I was
Who's the woman from Million Dollar Baby again? What's that actress's name?
Oh, Matt Damon.
Yes. Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank slash
Matt Damon.
She looks
like
Matt
Damon.
Yeah.
And I think Ethan Supley is actually in this one. Remember that
Tuna.
Tuna, who used to be big and now he's like 115 pounds.
Yeah, he's kind of big again. But yeah, it's a good movie.
Wait, Ethan Supley gained it back?
No.
Some of it.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why is Brandon protecting Ethan Supley? Does he have a cameo account?
Let me check.
He probably does.
Why wouldn't you already know about it?
Oh, Jalen Hurts is on there.
I have some breaking news. Ron Jeremy cameos were one third off through Father's Day.
Really? What the fuck? Gonna get their dad
what a deal.
No.
My God, Ethan Suplee's ripped now.
Yeah.
He can't be ripped.
Dude, he looks like Dan Bilzerian.
He does.
There's got to be some roids in there somewhere.
It reminds me, do you know who Dan Bilzerian is? How do you pronounce it, Brandon?
Bilzerian?
Do you know who Dan Bilzerian is?
I know the name.
So he's got like 36 million Instagram followers. He's made his money.
Oh, my God.
His dad, I think, was a hostile takeover guy in the 80s, and they have a ton of money. So he's trust fund, and then he made money from gambling. So he got this huge book deal to write the story of his life because he's an Instagram playboy.
Yeah. This guy. He's got all these chicks.
Yeah, 31.4 million Instagram followers. Simon & Schuster has the deal with him to write his book, but it fell apart, and the reason it fell apart was because he never wrote the book. He just never turned in a manuscript.
He didn't need to,
Didn't write the book, and so they had a ghostwriter write the book for him, and he didn't like it. So they took the money back. Which is just ridiculous. He thought he could keep the money, and they would just write the book for him, one that he would approve.
Isn't he rich anyway?
He's loaded.
Yeah, he's filthy rich. His Instagram is actually kind of fun to watch, unless you get very envious easy, because all the guy does is shoot guns and bang hundreds of the hottest chicks, and he throws porn stars off of roofs and breaks their legs, and then they sue him.
Yeah.
And Brandon, honestly, when he's at the country show in Vegas that gets shot up, he was the one that went up to the cop and said, "Give me a gun."
Yeah, he wanted a gun to shoot back at the guy in the hotel. But honestly, how long can you look at his Instagram? Is it really that entertaining?
You can take there's so many beautiful women who post pictures of them in some masturbatory worthy position or clothing, you know, a couple times a day. But I've found that when you look at a lot of them who've been on for a long time, for example, you'll find that a lot of people, you know, commenting, a whole lot of people liking them, not like they used to.
But like,
I mean, some people get millions of likes, and then, you know, as time wears on, and same with Twitter accounts, you'll see people, look at Dane Cook's Twitter. He has like 2 million Twitter followers, and he can put out a tweet and get 400 likes.
Wow.
400 out of 2 million.
So here's an example of Dan Bilzerian's Instagram. He's playing chess against somebody. He's on a cell phone, and it's a really large chessboard, and then around the board are just stacks of $100 bills and wraps. And that's all the post is.
How many people liked it?
He just wrote a game of kings. 1.8 million.
Out of 36 million?
Yeah.
That's still only... I mean, that's...
Why would you like that?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Here's four chicks in a hot tub and another chick.
Okay, four chicks in a hot tub. How many people like that?
1.9 million, but this is an ad. He got paid. He got paid to post that one.
I mean, honestly... Okay, give me another example.
Let me go back.
It's just hard to believe that 1.9 million will even take the time to hit the like button. Could people cheat on the like buttons like they cheat on the bots?
Yeah, they just fly through and go like. Okay, here's one.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
He is. There's just another picture of him holding like coins up in a bag and just tons of money on the counter. 1.7 million.
Including it sounds like such a fucking asshole to me.
The Spike King liked it.
The Spike King liked it. Anyway.
Should we call him and ask him?
I'm kind of tempted to call him. Yeah,
I can tell you like 20 people that probably like that. A lot of people like Bilzerian stuff because all it is chicks that are barely clothed and guns.
I think we need to bring in the Spike King and find out what it was that he liked so much about that. In particular.
Oh, come on.
Zot4DealsIndeed.com. What?
You're going to ask the Spike King why he liked a Dan Bilzerian post?
I don't know.
Along with 1.8 other million people?
I don't get it. I think Spike King has
better stuff to do.
If I had an Instagram and I followed him, I'd probably like it. Just because it's a bunch of hot chicks.
Why don't you fucking
chicks?
Marry him if you like him
That's
so much?
That's not a bunch of hot chicks. That's him holding up a bag of coins with a bunch of money.
He's rich. People like him.
You know, oh, you know what it is?
I know this is like
it's way, money he won betting on a MMA fighter is what it is.
Okay, yeah. I know I'm way cool. out of bounds here, but there once was a time when we all walked to school 3 miles. No, there once was a time when people who were constantly displaying their wealth in cheesy and just self-absorbed ways like that, people thought they were the biggest fucking assholes on the planet. Everyone hated him. I mean, if there's a hate button, he'd get 36 million hates a while back. But now I guess everybody loves, you know, like the refrigerator full of $500,000 in cash, Offset's birthday present. People thought that was so cool. I'm like, what? First of all, who gives their husband cash for their birthday?
I guess it's cool
just to be an asshole. But anyway,
I don't know what I'm missing.
Zot Ford and DealsInAD.com is fired up because the community, customers, and Zot Auto team are excited to be back at full strength, serving all your automotive needs. They've got Jim Bentley standing by, pushing wheels out the door. He doesn't have to push them, but he just pushes the people to buy the wheels, and then they go out the door. Actually, Jim isn't pushy. Jim Bentley and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County are selling some 2020 Fusions as low as $115 a month. America's number one truck, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $125 a month. God, what if Batmobiles were like F-150s?
They're all over the
everywhere.
Place.
Oh, my God, there's a blue Batmobile. Oh, wow, there's a purple Batmobile. I didn't even know. Oh, there's another one. Let's not forget about the all-new
purple Batmobile.
2020 Ford Explorer, as little as $198 a month. Finally, if you prefer to own your own vehicles, Zot Ford is over $10,000 in rebates on tons of inventory. Speaking of, check it out now. Go to DealsInAD.com because they had a shutdown. And not inventory is not exactly gigantic. It's kind of shrinking. So
did you see the big article on truck owners? It was really kind of cool
article.
Oh,
yeah, I saw that in the Freep today.
Yeah.
Hold that thought for just a second, because if you're a man facing divorce, this is more important. Or custody issues. Call Adam. A lot of guys have, you know, this whole custody thing. So many states are 50-50 now. Some states aren't 50-50, and some people will fight it, and some people... It's very complex. It's come a long way, but Adam is still working this. After nearly 30 years, they've been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system that you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has a knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. 248-356-ADAM. Are we on Facebook?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, there's just a big survey about trucks and pickups and, you know, how much people love them, which makes sense. I totally understand.
It's been a love affair for a long time.
Yeah. It's just new survey information. But the one thing that stood out was this one. What percentage of people do you think have a tattoo of their truck or related to their truck?
I'll say 3%.
1 in 5.
1 in 5?
1 in 5 have a tattoo of their truck or related to their truck.
Really?
Brandon, do you have one of your truck?
What if you get a new model the following year?
Well, I mean, it could just be like F-150, and you're always going to buy an F-150. I get that.
I don't know. It's your truck, but I mean, it's a truck that's mass produced that millions and millions of people have. I mean,
Batmobile tat.
I have a hard time putting a Virginia Tech tat on myself because it just seems so cheesy.
Maybe those people just have a bunch of tattoos.
I would just like to have a unique, if I get a tattoo and I think about it nowadays, I would like it to be something unique. And every time I think of something, well, maybe that'd be a cool tattoo. I think, no, that's stupid. Everybody has, or tons of people have that. And by the way,
hard to come up with an original one.
Is anyone watching 90 Day Fiancé at all?
No.
You know who Colty is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Colt is dating a new Brazilian chick.
Yeah.
Redhead. She's pretty. She's very pretty. Did we look at her last week?
I think so, because Brandon, you were talking about her.
She's pretty nice. And Colt banged her the first night, and Colt is the biggest slob. He's fat as hell. He's never had girlfriends until this girl from Brazil. He's 34, who he brought over, and she completely bossed him around for 3 months. She got arrested 3 times for domestic violence, and he divorced her. And now he's dating another Brazilian chick.
Wait, and he nailed the new Brazilian chick on the first date?
Wow. Yes, and she's pretty.
He's a changed man.
Oh, God. I can't believe my dick just barfed that much.
No, he's a total bore. He's on TV, though. So some people go, oh, he's on TV.
Wouldn't it be fun?
And I think they want to get on TV.
Wouldn't it be fun to have guys say that post-coitus and film the girl's reaction after you say something like that?
Oh, don't get any
ugly
ideas.
Sure, you're shaking your head. No, it would not be funny. I think it'd be fun.
Anyway, this girl, who again is really pretty, she's 23, he's 34. Not in 1 million years is there a 34-year-old dolt like Colt who would ever pull a 23-year-old that hot if she wasn't from Brazil. She's an au pair here, and she wants to stay. So, yeah. I think she
has any relationship ever worked with you? No!
But she's generally pretty cool. I mean, she seems friendly and fun and cool, and she's pretty. Anyway, she has, and I was admiring how pretty she was. She's a little heavy, but anyway, she had shorts on. I could help noticing. She has these two gigantic green blobs on her thighs. Oh, I mean, just huge. It's like, wow, what is she wearing long shorts, or has she got green shorts on? What is that? I mean, they're the biggest green blobs. If you go on 90 Day Fiancé and see Colt and his new girl, you can find
it. Cool now.
They are the biggest fucking green blobs. Oh, my God, are they huge. And I just can't understand, like, do people think that's cool? Is that hot? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, people that have tattoos, we learned that from hot, too hot to handle.
People do, but then when I see just two giant blobs on her legs, I don't know, just didn't do it for me. But she's still hot.
What's her name, Jess?
Yes, it's Jess.
Yeah, Jess Caroline.
Have you seen
the blobs, Brandon?
I didn't notice the blobs. I just noticed she was pretty.
She is pretty, but she's not like totally blobbed.
But like, now I'm looking at her Instagram.
Not blobs on her neck or her arms. I mean, she's lightly. She's not really blobbed at all, except she's got these two giant green blobs on her thighs.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now.
Where are they? I won't see that.
Well, she's got an Instagram. She's got big old tubes.
She has huge tits.
What's her Instagram?
It is JessCaroline_. Nice.
She's pretty. I mean, that asshole, it kind of makes me mad when I'm saying, he has no business being with her!
She's Brazilian? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of gums in that smile, she's saying.
I've never noticed her to have a real gummy smile.
Look at this picture. That picture right there.
Which one?
You don't like that? Do you like that ratio?
I think it's a lot of it has to do with that it's a really broad smile.
Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo.
I have not noticed her gum-to-teeth ratio being off at all.
Oh, there's a blob. What is that? Is that like a wolf?
It's a blob. It's like she went in and said, I want a giant green blob on the front of my legs.
That's not that bad.
On the thighs. You like
show
it?
Show me them big old titties. Come on.
I wouldn't encourage it on anyone. But
are you going to take a picture of the tattoo guy and say, Julie wants this?
It wouldn't stop me from getting to know Jess Lowe. God, she's huge, by the way. Isn't she?
She's a little heavy. But look at Colt. She's way too hot for Colt.
Oh, there's a good shot of both blobs. Yeah, it's weird when you're wearing a short dress like that.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know, just didn't seem like a great, I'm not sure she thought this through completely.
Hey, it worked. She's on TV.
True, in spite of the blobs. But
I think she's kind of gross until I tell you.
Well, but look at Colt. Look at him. You should see him without a shirt.
What are you, selling for Colt like Brandon is for Cameo? Colt could do better than this. He's on TV.
Oh,
Andy, Austin Rivers is 50
She can
bucks.
Do better than him. I'm telling
Brandon?
You.
What'd you say, Brandon?
Austin Rivers is $50 today.
Awesome Rivers?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Doc's kid.
Charlie Sheen's back on there. He's $350.
Really?
Ooh, really?
Ooh, Melissa Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge is doing him for $100 now.
Melissa Etheridge is on Cameo.
God.
Just to pay for the funeral? Sorry.
Oh. No, you're not.
There's probably GoFundMe for that.
Yeah, here's a picture of Jess Caroline in one of the first comments underneath. Between tattoos and big legs, not attractive.
Her legs are a little big. She's really pretty, though. I mean, she's very pretty.
She's all yours, or Colt's.
Hey, I think Colt should be kissing her ass, and he's not because he's such a stiff.
People on here love her tattoos, though, I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, she wanted to go out with her girlfriend. She wanted Colt's in Chicago visiting her. Of course, he can't date anyone where he lives. That would be impossible. So he's settled. Instead of somebody who's 2,000 miles away, he settled for someone in Chicago. Pretty far.
It's on brand.
So he's visiting, and the first night he bangs her. She basically tells him, yeah, I'll bang you first night, you know, and he does. And so he's all feeling all good. And then they go out the next night and they meet three of her girlfriends who are also from Brazil. And they want to go to a couple parties, you know, and then whatever. And Colt's, you know, they're fluent. Colt's like, no, I just want to go to the hotel.
Ugh. Buzzkill!
And her friends are like, don't let him tell you what to do. Why can't you guys just come out with us?
You party pooper, buzzkill!
And Colt just puts his foot down. And, of course, her friends hate him immediately.
Oh, that's a good, yeah, great way to win over the friends.
And her friend says that, Jess says he just likes to play video games.
He likes to play that slot machine in the kitchen.
Apparently, he likes to play video games for hours while Jess just sits there.
And masturbates.
Wouldn't want her to go out with her girlfriends while he played video games for hours. She has to be in the hotel with them.
Mario!
He has the socialization skills of a 14-year-old at best. I'm serious.
That's oddly controlling.
I thought it was pretty stupid. Well.
She's to leave him.
Right?
Be done with them.
Oh, she will be if she can't get in the country.
I tell you what, bitch, join me. We get a crack rock, get a fifth of liquor. We can smoke all goddamn night and feel better by daybreak. But we're going to be some broke bitches.
Broke bitches. Did you want to see the emotional reaction from the fighter and the kid?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Oh, yes, I did. Because Carl reviewed this podcast. And I guess this is a big podcast. Mm-hmm. And the feeling was that these are two comedian friends of Joe Rogan, and they just phone this thing in. They've got sponsors, and they basically do a long enough show to play the sponsors and make some money off it, which was my complaint before I knew about who are these podcasts. I would see these comedy podcasts that, you know, are either way ahead of us or they're in our ballpark, and I'd be like, are these podcasts really that good? Because they sure get a lot of downloads. And I'd listen to them, and I would say, and of course, you know, we did a radio show, so we know what preparing for a show is, and we feel responsible to have, you know, content that makes sense, that fits. You know, it's all supposed to have not a red ribbon around it, but at least have some direction. And I hear these comedians. Chris D'Elia might be the worst.
I believe it. Chris D'Elia,
who, I mean, he has a massive podcast, massive, top 20. His show's been taken off Comedy Central, Hulu, and Amazon today.
Yep.
And I don't even know what show it was.
Well, the episode, it was one episode.
Goodbye.
One episode of Workaholics.
Love Okay Bye. I love that. Yeah, I don't even know what Workaholics is. I don't know the show he did
Great
with
show.
Whitney Cummings. Yeah. But, you know, all these people, of course, knew nothing about it. And it seems there is kind of a thin comedy line, as there is a thin blue line, as there's many thin line, a thin Hollywood line. If you look at some of the people out there who did their business for as long as they did in front of so many people, and
so D'Elia,
nobody said shit.
D'Elia did a podcast with the kid.
Oh yeah, Chris D'Elia is always on this show too.
D'Elia.
Well,
D'Elia.
But no. His podcast was just stream of consciousness. It was just, I mean, I'm like, I can't believe people are entertained by this. But they were, so, I mean, I can't argue with that. It takes time to look up a show and to download it and to listen to it. And he, apparently, for whatever reason, he connected with these people. I didn't get it. And when Carl did the Who Are These Podcasts on it, it was very refreshing just to hear someone feel kind of how I did, that there's nothing going into this. And the fighter and the kid, he did Who Are These Podcasts on that show, too. And what was the word they kept using? For there's a word for boofooing.
Honey, they keep saying like
honey hole. Yeah, honey hole. Ugh. And it was like this running thing. It's like,
I don't know. Maybe she didn't get it.
I don't know what it was, but anyway, so this Chris D'Elia thing happens, and so it's got, because they're very tight with him, and that, you know, that comedy community is very much, you know, they're all part of each other. They all know each other. They've toured together, or they're friends, and or they're both. So they can't really not get into this. And the piece that was sent to me, I was like, what's this going to be? Are they going to, they're not going to, I don't think they'll denounce him. They don't seem like they would do that. And I don't know what they're going to do, but I certainly didn't expect what happened. Actually, I thought the first guy's response was fair. He said, this is a friend.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. And I thought that was, okay. But then
is that the fighter?
I think it is. When the other guy, first
the guy that
talking.
Talks first, yeah, he's the dude with the sunglasses on. He's the guy that was actually talking to Joe Rogan when they were ripping us to shreds for talking about.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Bill Hartman, yeah. So, all right, here I'm going to roll.
I was stunned when the second guy starts talking. And you'll know why immediately.
So, how does the dealio sound to you?
I think, Brennan, we have to at least talk about this. You guys, if you follow the news, if you're alive, if you've been following this Twitter thing the way we have, you know what's going on with our friend Chris. I'm not, you know, in these situations, people in Hollywood tell you what to say. And I said to Brennan, what we can do is tell the truth. And I'm not going to sit here. I'm a man, and I define myself on how I respond to these situations in real time when the pressure's really on. And so this is what I'll say.
Define something.
I always knew Chris as a ladies' man. I have never, and I'm going to say this, I have never seen or heard.
A ladies' man?
Yeah,
not that good looking. Better looking in his own mind than he really is.
A ladies' man? He doesn't sound like a ladies' man. He sounds like a shark. He sounds like a guy who uses his celebrity to pull chicks.
Well, but wait, he's saying how he knew him. So I believe that's the guy that used to do the podcast with him. I think the fighter's the one on the right. I think the reverse right.
Okay.
So the guy on the left was originally on Mad TV, too. So he's been around the business for a while.
Sure.
So,
I understand what he's saying. I know he's our friend, but he just doesn't sound like my definition of a... First of all, I hate the term, he's a ladies man.
Yeah, no, it's a little silly. But that's how we always knew him.
Okay. That's fine.
Heard of him doing anything illegal. Ever.
Why does he have sunglasses
this
on?
Is shocking to me.
I don't know.
As I'm watching this happen, I don't know what to think and I don't know what to say. I don't. But I'm going to say it again. I have personally never heard or seen him do anything illegal. That's all I can say. And right now I have to believe that because he's still a friend.
No, you don't have to.
And it may be unpopular to say that, but I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. And I'm not going to be some, I just think it's an impossible situation, and I'm just at a loss. I'm at a loss, and I'm praying that what I'm hearing isn't true. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
That's a brave stance.
Go back a sec. Did he just talk? He tried to talk.
Yeah.
Back it up like 10 seconds.
That what I'm hearing isn't true. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
I can't talk.
It's just, you know, it's like, it's a weird thing because I said to Brennan, I said, it's like, you know, it's like watching someone die or something.
Really?
And also,
I don't know about that. That's a little extreme.
You know, what's important is that we haven't spoken to Chris.
No.
I'm crying.
We've never been on the road with him. I was on the road with him about 14 years ago once. When he was, just beginning, but I've never been on the road with him. So I don't know. I don't know what to think and I don't know. Pause and it. That's what's so frustrating.
Then why is the other guy crying?
He's just upset.
About what?
He's a good friend.
But they haven't talked to him. I mean, if it's a good
friend. No, he's crying because he, I think when he said, you know, it's like watching someone die. I understand what he's saying. He's done. It's over. He's canceled.
He's not dying though.
No, he's not dying, but, well, I got to tell you, if you had a 20-year career in comedy and you built up this big thing and all of a sudden you got canceled.
No, it's horrific. I understand that.
It's kind of like death.
I understand that. And this is where things become hyperbolic about that. But the other guy just, they both said they don't really know him or they haven't talked to him. If something happened to Brandon, wouldn't you call him right away and try to talk to him before you commented?
Well,
figure out if the story's true.
I think that's
and if
a little
it
weird.
Is true, then maybe go a different route than just saying, I don't know. But if it's a friend, you'd think as soon as these allegations come out, you'd go, hey, dude, what's going on? Are you all right? Is it true? What's going on?
Well, how good
what
a friend is he?
What is the right thing to say if you're confronted about something like that?
He's not being confronted. I mean, he isn't. This is his show, and he feels compelled to talk about it because they know Chris, and they've had him on the show, and he's been on his show, or they had a show together, or all these things.
Yeah,
they're in a community. To be crying, and you didn't. I mean, did they call him? Did they try to reach him? Because it seems to me if you haven't talked to him, he can't be that good a friend. Isn't he more like a guy in the business with you?
Yeah, and what he said at first was fine, and then I feel like the other guy left him out to hang by not saying anything.
Well, he's crying.
Is Chris?
Do we know that Chris Delia is crying? By the way, I'd like to know that the other person, the person I'm crying about, is crying before I cry.
Judging by his tweet, no.
What was his tweet?
Let me find it again. He's just kind of a dick in his tweet.
Just play the rest of that and get it over with.
I'm just sad.
Yeah,
I'm sad.
So anyway, yeah. Sometimes that's the best thing to say, is to say I don't know what to say, and I'm just. I don't know, man. Yeah. It's a fucked up thing.
I can't talk.
Fuck. Well, that's appropriate.
Really?
That's appropriate right now. You can just pray that that nothing's true.
Because no matter what the facts are, whatever comes out, I'm as shocked as anyone. I'm hurt. I'm mad. I'm fucking mad, man. I'm mad at him.
Okay.
Oh, that was intense.
Okay, the first guy talking, it seems to me, it reminds me of when I'm trying to think of an example. I've seen this so many times where people go, yeah, this book about you, it says this is, well, I've read the book.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen the clip. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, no, that's bullshit. We know you've read the book. We know you've heard about the book. We know you've seen the clip. Whatever it is. Stop it. Don't lie. And I feel like the first guy is suggesting that he doesn't know. If you've seen the screenshots, if you've really dived into the story, if this guy's a really good friend of yours, you're probably going to read all this stuff, if nothing else, to know what he's being subjected to, if you do believe him. And the screenshots are very damning. Mm-hmm. Very damning. And I feel like the second guy did see the screenshots and it brought him to tears because his friend's such an asshole.
So weird.
He's mad. You know, he says, I'm mad. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting, though, to hear from a couple of his quote unquote friends. And I was really not expecting to see. I mean, the show's called The Fighter and the Kid. You don't expect to see somebody crying on that show. I mean, these guys are talking about honey holes and it's a kind of a bawdy show. But I guess if he's a really good friend, he's not good a friend. And
are you going to cry when I'm canceled?
No.
What?
Not going to cry. Not on the show.
Brandon, are you going to cry when I get canceled?
Maybe, because I probably got canceled with you.
Good point. Have you guys looked at all the screenshots?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's
he's a horrible guy. He's a fucking horrible guy.
He's just a creep.
He's a terrible creep, though, and he likes underage chicks. I mean, between him and Escobar the last 2 days.
And the one that was consensually, well, according to her story, he treated her like shit.
Yeah.
The one that he berated when she came over.
He sounds like a control person, too. One of those control people who does, like, there's one story, and I can't believe these guys haven't seen the story, where he is trying to get this girl who is she underage? She might be 19. And, you know, he's like 38 at the time, and he's trying to get her. He starts immediately after meeting him. She's like, oh, my God, Chris D'Elia, I'm such a fan. And he's like, so would you blow me? And then would you blow my friend so I can get a reference? And then he wants to send his friend to go meet her to find out, you know, if she's for real.
Well, that's just not a joke.
No, that's not a joke at all. No. It's just, you know, and. That is when you try to, you know, with like R. Kelly, when you start pushing this, like, do this for me, do that for me, or you will do this, or you will do that. You won't laugh at a man's joke. That's, you're building that control, that cult-like attachment, you know, to, I can make you do anything.
I didn't do this stuff.
And I see a lot of that in the screenshots where he's just determined that, you know, I am somebody special. And it's just nauseating. I think his career is dead. I think he is dead.
Yeah.
I don't see how this guy comes back because it's bad.
No. He'll do a podcast.
Or he'll just write for somebody else. He'll be a comedy writer and he probably
will use
an alias for credits.
That's probably his best route because honestly, I don't know how he gets sponsors. Because I think the sponsors will get shit.
I wonder if Get Roman is still sponsoring his podcast.
But
did you see Amy Schumer had a response to it?
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, boy.
Let me guess. She didn't know anything about it.
No. Well, what I thought was interesting is she says, I'm here to talk. If anyone needs any support, reach out and I'll try my help the best I can. My number is posted on my bio.
Oh, please.
So then you look at that number, and there's, you know, she's got a phone number up there. Is this that weird text me scam that Ashton Kutcher's behind?
Yeah. Right. Do you pay money for the text?
No, I don't think you do. You do?
I think you almost always do when in those situations.
I think it's a thing where they want you to sign up.
I don't know why you would ever set something like that up, because you're never going to read all those text messages.
Like the one Paul McCartney sent?
Yeah, it's exactly.
What was
the same,
that one for?
It's the same service. Remember Paul McCartney texted you, give me a call? And then you,
I did.
They just want you to, you know, then text back so you can get all the breaking information on your phone.
Oh, so in other words, your phone gets flooded with their promo shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that, they might not charge you for that, but that's...
I totally blocked Paul McCartney a couple months ago.
Oh, you dick.
Well, I had to. He was just spamming my phone.
Yeah.
You signed up for all that?
Yeah, we did it in studio because I think we were doing the show when we found out about it, and so I signed up or I texted him, hey, Paul, how's it going? And about a day later, it said, get my merchandise here.
Were you disappointed when you weren't talking to him personally?
Exactly. Do you want to see me play the trumpet in a very shitty song? Oh, wow.
But what's weird, though, so Amy Schumer says, reach out and I'll try to help. And then she gives that number.
Yeah. All right. Trudy, you want to talk about Dr. Roche? When we come back, I want to talk about Bieber.
I want to make sure everybody knows to vote for us on the Vote for the Best for the month of July on WDIV.
Hey,
they've got that, the best entertainment restaurants, et cetera. And we're in the best podcast category, so get on that. And I hear that you can vote once an hour.
Oh, really?
Is what someone, I don't know who,
well,
but
someone
told me.
Let's hire one of those click farms to do it for us.
Yeah, but
what
you
do
can
we get when we win?
Once a day.
What do we get when we win? Is
it
going to be worth
pops?
It? Oh, okay. Well,
maybe we get another segment on WDIV. Remember, we had that great one before.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what was like who the winner was of the 2019.
They didn't do it.
They have those up there. Yeah,
they didn't do it last year.
No, they didn't. They just completely skipped podcasting and all that.
Oh, the podcast category was left out. Yeah, because I saw some of those this morning when I was looking for the survey. In the meantime, it's hot bod June, summertime, time to cover up. It isn't really. You don't want to cover anything up because it's hot, man, and you want to get that stuff out in the open. But if there's something that you're trying to hide, that is a bummer, and it's time to get that stuff trimmed, toned, and tightened. Evolve is Dr. Roche's revolutionary non-surgical, so that means fast recovery and non-invasive process for tightening things up, toning, and trimming your cellulite. They can get that to suck up and trim down all kinds of spots and also smooth stuff out. So Evolve is a great new thing that they had just before we went into lockdown. And so they're excited to try it on a lot of people. And you can fill out those cups, breast lifts at Dr. Roche's. Makes every summer look hotter than hell for everybody. It makes everything look better. 360 lipo for the, you know, beer gut cellulite. You can still get a Father's Day gift card for dad.
Oh, slow down.
Didn't already. Yeah. You can actually get a gift card for anybody at any point at Dr. Roche's office. Go to the website, droche.com, or call them. Get a teleconsultation at 248-338-1110.
Cool.
Put your best face and body forward.
If you're one of those people that's having trouble financially because of all the everything going on, COVID.
Oh.
I don't know.
Stock market mainly, today.
What did it do today?
Down.
How
according
bad?
To halfway through the day.
Let's see, hang on. I thought it was up. Oh, man. Yeah.
Really?
Stopping everything just so I can check. No, Trudy, it's up.
Huh?
Slightly up. The market's slightly up.
Oh. Well, earlier I thought it was down on the COVID, the new COVID numbers, but, you know.
Oh, they don't care about that.
You lied to me.
But if you are broke, like Trudy, because you bought in some fake stock market, it's time to call attorney Ted Klimek to learn what your options are before you have none. We know Tad. He's been around. He's a good dude. No one wants to file bankruptcy like Trudy, but let's be honest, shit happens. And since March, the entire country, like Trudy, has pretty much been shit on. Tad practices exclusively in Chapter 7, Fresh Starts, and Chapter 13, Restructuring. Anybody want to tell me the difference between 7 and 13? Do you know the difference between 7 and 13?
No.
I don't know. I'm sure.
Well, I use a calculator for that.
Is one total liquidation? is the other restructuring. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's it. What is Chapter 11 then?
Chapter 11 is for businesses. I think that one you can still operate, but you don't have to pay anybody back. One stays on, I think seven stays on for like a decade, and 13 is maybe half that. What am I talking to? Call Tab, Trudy.
Very nerdy.
It's a solo practice. You talk to him personally. You're not going to be pushed off to a paralegal. Doesn't know your situation, Trudy. But plus, consultations are free. Since there's no physical hearings right now, everything is done via phone and video. So you never have to leave your house. He's an easy guy to talk to. He gets it. Today's climate, it's more important than ever to call him. Go to ClimicLawOffice.com. That's K-L-I-M-M-E-K. LawOffice.com. It's actually Tad answering the questions. He won't hide any fees or costs. Please, if you're feeling the pressure like Trudy is, visit K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com. Take advantage now. Remember, know your options before you have none.
Damn, those are long commercials.
There was some sidetracking.
Okay. I was upstairs.
I think your internal clock was off.
I have a pretty good internal clock.
You have the most amazing internal clock. I pride myself on mine. Yours is 30 times better.
It seems to be a radio clock, though. I think when I'm not doing radio, it's not as good.
You know what messes up an internal clock? Kids.
Kids make everything takes pretty longer. Tricky. I want to talk about Bieber, but I'm going to break things up with something else because I woke up this morning, and the first 15 minutes of my day, it was like, Good Morning America started. And it's John Bolton, John Bolton, John Bolton, and John Bolton. Yeah. First of all, looking at him, I hate looking at him.
Isn't that?
He's so weird looking.
But I don't know. Yeah, he's weird looking. I hate his mustache, his eyebrows, and I don't know. And also because he's so like intense. If he was like really,
how long
really,
did it take you to grow that mustache?
I mean, if he's talking about really warm things, maybe it would warm him up a little bit. But between the way he looks and what he has to say,
he's worse when he smiles, isn't he, Drew?
I didn't notice him smile. Maybe I turned away from the screen and missed it, but
I watched that whole thing. That ABC had a special on it last night. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, my God. They spent it was the first 15 minutes of the news this morning.
Yeah. It's just really funny. I can't decide. Is he going to be one of those guys that the other side likes now because he's revealing all the stuff we pretty much expected about Trump? Or is
he going to be
he's not a good dude. Or is he going to be the guy that everyone just hates now? Left and right.
The other side is pissed because he didn't come out and do that during the impeachment hearing.
Yeah, he didn't testify. And you know,
even pre-Trump, he was a bad dude.
My reaction to him in general is that I think he's probably saying a lot of things that are true. Yeah. I don't know, but probably. But the fact that he doesn't testify, and I don't want to get all in the weeds about that.
Yeah.
But the fact that he doesn't testify, it makes me wonder, is he saving stuff for his book? So it's all fresh and new when his book comes out. Well, you know, how can a national security guy? This is my first reaction. I didn't realize until the last few years, because it happens all the time now, people are in these incredibly sensitive posts. And while their administration is still going, people did in the Clinton administration, too. Mm-hmm. They write some horrendous book and just lay out all this shit about the people in their administration.
Right.
And it seems to me, first of all, you know, if you're hired by a president, and let's just leave Trump out of it because he's different. But, you know, if...
Sounds like you're becoming pro-NDA.
No, not at all.
Well...
No, we're talking about national security advisor.
Well, it gets vetted.
No, I know it gets vetted. But I'm just saying, I didn't realize it was so easy. I thought there were regulations about, like, lobbyists can't represent a foreign country for 1 year, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, that's insane. Why should they ever be able to cash in on, you know, when people talk about working for the government in these types of jobs as public service, they go, public service? People doing public service don't, you know, refuse to testify and then write a big fat book.
Yeah.
And basically it's as prurient as you can possibly make it to sell copies. Now, I don't know. How much has this guy paid for the advance? I have not seen a number.
Yeah.
But I would assume it's big because look at how much news coverage it gets. It's like the biggest story ever. And they did a special last night, and I didn't see it.
$2 million.
But $2
million. $2
million, yeah. You get two for the book, and then but $1 million for the advance? Or
$2 million for the advance.
Does that stink to anybody besides me?
I don't like it, but I mean... Everybody does it, like you just said.
I guess I don't know why everyone does it or why everyone's allowed to do it. Because if you're holding a position in an administration, and I realize
that he's not anymore.
No, he's not. But he was a very short time ago. It's the same administration that was going on. I can't wait till the administration.
That's right.
I mean, in some cases, that could be 5, 6, 7 years. But throwing that aside. OK, so I listened to the whole thing and he says, and I quote him. He says, this republic can own, which when somebody says this republic, I feel like, what? Where are we? What year is this?
I mean, isn't that 1865.
Isn't that a little dramatic?
Yes.
A little dramatic. Yes. He says, this republic can only survive one Trump term. And he talks about how he has no guiding principles except getting reelected, which sounds like a lot of people to me, but so did quid pro quo.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Well, why did people waver on impeachment vote? Because they thought if they voted the other way, they might not get reelected. So they're voting to get reelected, essentially. And look
you,
at the
you
votes.
Mean the president? Yeah, but I think most of them, maybe I'm not cynical enough, but I think most of them do want to govern to a certain extent. I think
so much is that.
I thought for a long time.
If you're not reelected, there's no ball game. No, I think re-election comes first and foremost, and raising money.
They're not independent of each other, though. You can do both. I think he has no interest in. I've said that before. I've always thought he likes being president. Who wouldn't want to be president?
I think he does too.
The most powerful man. You do whatever you want, kind of thing. I think he has really very little interest in governing.
Well, that's not really my point.
Well, that's his, that was Bolton's point.
The two biggest complaints about it. Well, the quid pro quo impeachment. And he only wants to get reelected. That's the only guiding principle. And I think
that
sounds like a lot of people. I don't know if it's many presidents, probably none or very few. But it's just really funny when someone in that world says the only thing he wants to do is get reelected, because I'm never stunned when someone says that. I should be, but I'm not. I guess with a president, it's pretty fucking bad. But I go back to impeachment and, well, she really wants to vote to impeach, but she's got to get reelected. Or, you know, he doesn't want to vote to impeach. But yeah. He's got to vote to impeach because he's in Trump territory and he won't get reelected. We're talking about impeaching the fucking president.
Now you're talking about people that don't have term limits. So they can. That's their whole career. I mean, a president.
You're talking about people who want to get reelected above punishing the president for doing something that is worthy of impeachment.
Yeah,
so they put their own reelection ahead of the government of the president's impeachment.
It was bullshit
so,
with Clinton. It was bullshit now.
It sounds like I'm defending Trump, but I'm not. I'm just pointing out how absolutely insane.
But I'm telling you the difference, though. But yeah,
the difference between what?
Well, Congress can keep getting reelected. I mean, look how John Conyers was in Congress for 135 years.
Well, the president can get reelected. That's what he says.
Once.
All he does.
No, I know but, once. But
well, that's so enough. He says we can only survive one term.
So you think all presidents are that way? They just are.
No, I don't. I just said that. I said maybe none, maybe a few at the most. And I don't like it at all. I think it's bullshit. And as far as, you know, the scattershot policy, that sounds pretty right on. And no guiding principles. And I don't know if I entirely believe that.
MAGA.
I think his guiding principle is to his base, which is getting reelected, I guess. But I never thought his base was big enough to reelect him, really. But I'm not him. And all of the disclosures are horrible if true. So anyway, as far as the Republic. And, you know, can only survive one Trump term. And so I watch all this.
Un-American.
I take it in. I'm like, this is important. I mean, I spent 15 minutes on it. I've seen this guy everywhere. Yeah. Had a show last night. And then he said, so you won't vote for Donald Trump? And he says, no, I will not. And, you know, this is after he said, we can only survive one term. And then he says, but I will not vote for Joe Biden. I'm like, what? We can only survive one term for Trump and you won't vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
He's
you just wasted 15 minutes of my life.
He's very principled.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. No.
Why would you not vote for Joe Biden if you think the Republic can only stand one time?
Because Bolton's principles are more important to him than the fate of the Republic.
This reminds me of Star Wars with the Emperor talking about the Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but
Star Wars.
But my biggest complaint about Bolton, and I know this is shallow, is having to look at him.
His mustache, yeah.
Having to look at him. He's just, bad. I don't know. He's just a hard guy to look at. He really is.
Why hasn't Trump tweeted out about his mustache? He's been saying all his other things about he's a loser and all his other things. I think his mustache would be the one to go after.
Well, that would be shaming. We know we can't.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't do that.
No one does. No one can do that. So then the other B I was interested in was Justin Bieber. And, You know, it's interesting because yesterday
it was Justice Bieber.
I find out that Justin Bieber, and I will only call him Justin Bieber. He cannot be called Justin or Biebs or Bieber anymore. It's Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Biebs is kind of cute.
Justin Bieber's coming over, Mom! I mean, it just, I can't stop feeling like we're talking about a child.
We are talking about a child. How old is he, 13, 14 now?
26, 27.
That's right.
Well, anyway,
wrong.
These two girls yesterday essentially were making public on Twitter, which is exactly how they should be handled.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
right.
Honest to God, it's funny how this happens so much. We talk about it like it's the most normal thing in the world to accuse someone of rape on Twitter. So the one of the girls said that she had posted this in 2017, and indeed she had, and that she was so berated by the
un-American,
the believers, that she took it down and she just went disappeared. And this is in the middle of the Me Too thing. So again, I feel like it's that whole cult thing. It's the cult of Bieber, and it's just unbelievable the connection these people like Bieber have with their audience. Where and Michael Jackson, another one. R. Kelly. Look how long it took to get R. Kelly because people love his music. So I thought that the stories the two girls told, they had lots.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America?
MAGA.
America.
MAGA.
Well, that really gets into, really leans in.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America?
MAGA.
America.
MAGA.
America.
MAGA.
America.
MAGA.
Do you have your passport?
Did you get your shots?
Who wants to come back with Rob to America?
MAGA. MAGA. MAGA.
Crazy on that idea.
You know, I just love the way to serenade a woman.
Yeah, beautiful.
And reference getting the shots. I think that's just beautiful. That's so God gorgeous. What
the United States.
What better way to serenade a woman than to ask her if she got her shots? That is just perfect. That's a cushion flipper right there.
How insulting. Oh, cushion flipper.
How in the fuck did that
if I
happen?
I had a pussy, be wearing a shit. I'd be like squirting.
What year was that song? Was that like 2011 or 2014?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
How did that not become the biggest thing ever?
Maybe that chick.
We knew what he was doing.
Passport. Did you get your shots?
MAGA.
Man, the chicks dug it over there. I don't know. Where was it? What country was it?
Ethiopia, wasn't it?
Ethiopia, really? I don't know. I believe you. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Anybody know where it was?
Let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
Yeah, it was somewhere in Africa, but Africa's big. I don't know which country in particular.
Hmm. Well, anyway, the two girls that posted about Bieber, and again, this stuff being adjudicated by social media mobs is so absolutely ridiculous because who the fuck knows? And here I am trying to judge the credibility of these girls who just post something about rape.
Get your face out in public and let's live where people have to see you every day.
And the rapist, the alleged rapist has what, how many million followers? 100 million followers probably?
Yeah, easily.
Oh, 112 just on Twitter alone.
So this girl's post, which seems very sincere, both of them have a lot of details, too, and screenshots and, you know, and names of real people that they met. The first girl, she mentions the hairdresser, Kyle Massey, and a girl named Ariana, who was in the room, who she has texted with since the event. And she's got the screenshots of her talking to the bodyguard.
So couldn't they get, I mean, as if she doesn't have enough evidence, but couldn't she get, like, GPS tracking on her phone? Well, no, I guess.
Yeah, they could.
But there was a mob of women outside the one place.
But I would think they could, as far as tracking it to a hotel room. The bodyguard is asking her in the screenshot to come up to the room and have a drink at 2:30 in the morning when she's been out there since 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. I mean, it's just, It's insane. So I'm trying to find the... I had made some notes today on this topic.
Oh, while you're looking for them.
I know. If I had a pussy, it'd be wet as shit. I'd be like squirting.
There's lots of pussy at the beach.
Right over here. Where's he?
Looks like your dad's going to get balls deep in your mom tonight.
I'll keep playing Stevie Drops until you're ready.
I don't know if you've been working out or what, but your body's looking good.
Okay,
Gosh, you're all making me so mad.
Bieber responded.
Oh, great. And this will be excellent.
We have the girl again who, you know, had the screenshots. She's talking to the bodyguard whose phone number is on there. Mm. She's referencing three people that were in the room. 2:30 in the morning. You see the times on the texts. And she heard the response from his assistant was, this is factually impossible because Justin stayed in Airbnb with us. And he didn't stay at the Four Seasons. He was at the Westin, which, by the way, the Westin.
No, he wasn't at the Westin.
Pick a bigger hotel.
He wasn't on the Westin. But isn't it possible that, yeah, he could have been staying at the Airbnb with you and have a place at the Four Seasons or the Westin for chicks?
It could be in Scooter Braun's name at the Four Seasons. I mean, there's a million ways. This is not factually impossible. Don't say it's factually impossible. That's ridiculous. That sounds like spin to me.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, how many dopes are you saying? Oh, she wasn't there. Okay.
She has screenshots from the bodyguard.
Oh,
she got the timestamps. It says, come up to the hotel room, have a drink with Justin.
Just send her an eggplant and the erupting volcano.
So Justin's response is, their Airbnb receipts and Selena Gomez was here.
Yeah, at the Airbnb while you're banging chicks at the Marriott or Four Seasons.
And so he says that, yes, because someone else posted that, oh, Mr. Westin Hotel. And she had a picture of him at the Four Seasons restaurant. And so he's staying at the Westin, but he goes to the Four Seasons restaurant.
Tell the facts.
Isn't that a little strange?
When opinions meet facts, that's when you get truth.
This guy's worth hundreds of millions at this time, not just now, then.
Mm-hmm.
And he stays at the Westin Hotel?
No, he doesn't.
I'm
going to look up the ratings. Where's the Westin at?
I thought the Westin was really nice.
Which Westin's okay, but it's not the Four Seasons. He's Justin Bieber. He's a multi. He's a billionaire, probably.
Which Westin was it?
Austin, Texas, is it?
Bonaventure? Oh, in Texas.
Was it a South by Southwest thing, or was that the other girl?
Austin, Massachusetts.
Let me find out.
Oh, my God. I think I've stayed at this Westin. So, yeah, it's not that nice.
What's it cost?
With the roof. Holiday Inn. $199 a night.
Justin Bieber stays in a $199 hotel. That's possible, I guess.
Oh, it's discounted from $268.
But doesn't he drive like incredible cars like Jaguars and crazy shit like
Lambos?
That? But he stays in cheap hotels.
Yeah. It's a four-star hotel.
Is it possible that maybe somebody else on the Bieber team stayed at the Westin Hotel, so they've got it mixed up? That there were other members of the team playing at the Four Seasons Hotel. Now, I'm not trying to bust him, but I'm just saying this business of it being factually impossible is bullshit. If he was with Selena Gomez, then why is he inviting this girl up to the room, or why is his bodyguard inviting this girl up to the room at 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Oh, this is in Austin. Okay, I'm sorry. I had the wrong one.
Can we not address that part of it? That hey, the girl, there's a screenshot where she's being invited up by your bodyguard, who's named, whose phone number's on there, and she names people that are there. Were they in Austin? Were you all at the Airbnb? I mean, to say it's factually impossible sounds to me like a bullshit answer.
This Westin doesn't even have like a presidential suite or a Bieber suite. Was he just staying in a regular?
I got to tell you, I haven't heard anyone even say this, that Justin Bieber stays at the Westin Hotel. That seems kind of weird. Yeah, let's call him.
I believe
that he also said today that the Four Seasons will verify that there was no reservation in my name, which is kind of sounds Parsi. Like, oh, they don't want anybody else's name, you know?
Why would it be in his name?
It would not be in his name.
Thank you for contacting Austin downtown. For questions regarding an upcoming stay,
for Justin Bieber, press 1.
To reach our accounting department, please press 2. For assistance with new or existing group events, please press 3.
How about an old one?
For any inquiries with our human resources
just find out if there's a big suite where a celebrity would stay.
If this is an urgent matter, the hotel manager on duty can be reached at 5.
I'm just going to smash zero a bunch of times.
While we try to connect you.
Make sure my passport stuck in my head.
I know that song is, wow, powerful. He really has a great hook.
It worked for years.
Hook no one's ever heard. No one will ever hear that again. In 300 years, no one will say, did you have your shots? Never. It will not happen.
Does no one work at this hotel?
Well, I guess the Westin just shut down the board because of Justin Bieber.
Bieber bought it out so no one could ever track it down. Although she was claiming Four Seasons.
Justin Bieber's room is making a lot of noise.
Just keep going. I'll
live. Hello. Thank you for contacting the Westin Austin downtown.
What?
For questions regarding an upcoming stay, please press 1.
Huh. I'm pressing 1.
Hold while we try to connect.
That's what happens when you can't find anybody.
Thanks for calling Westin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
To speak to a live agent, please press 1 now.
Oh, this won't be the front desk. This will just be some Yahoo at 1-800, I think.
So?
I think so.
This call may be recorded. Oh, please see our privacy statement at Mary.com for information.
You know you love me. That's our hold music.
Experience using a short survey.
Okay, fuck it. Just hang up.
So hard.
Does anybody smell the same rat that I do?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
True to your chick.
Yeah, I totally smell that rat. It
smells like it's Bieber. And
have you guys read much about Bieber, though, in the crazy Bieber days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talked about him a lot.
Him all the time. Mop buckets.
I mean, there were Lambo. Chicks, young chicks everywhere. And they felt they would fall down for him. I mean, it was like. I mean, I don't know why he would have to rape someone, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's a good defense. Well,
it is a good defense.
Except for the power of it. He just wants to, you know.
Well, or he just wants.
At a point, don't you think somebody has so much money and power that they feel like they should just be entitled to do
everything they want
to
do.
And you know what I think happens is everyone does what they want to do.
Yeah.
So when someone doesn't, they probably mean to, but they just forgot who he is for a second.
Yeah. Probably.
The second girl. That story, you know, if she's just making that story up, she is one cunning bitch because it sounds incredibly sincere. I don't think her information is as complete as the first girl.
Yes.
But at the same time,
strength
I mean,
in numbers.
It'd be interesting to talk to her sister because
yeah,
she says she told her sister about it and she was so ashamed because of her religion. And her desire to be a virgin until she was married. And by the way, if you want to stay a virgin until you're married, what are you doing in Justin Bieber's room?
You think
Justin Bieber just wants to make out with you?
I mean, well, maybe you're a little naive.
Oh, I think a lot of these girls are.
Maybe they think that he's going to marry him or fall in love.
Yeah.
He can write a song.
I mean, that's why these people are stars. But I don't know, as much as I hate this taking place on Twitter... Mm-hmm. I just hate the whole fucking story because I feel almost doesn't matter if it's true or not. His cult will just shoot it down.
Yeah.
They'll just make this girl's life misery. They'll just pound the shit out of both of them and they'll feel like I got to go away.
I guess, I mean, that's the flip side of the people just throwing stuff out there on Twitter. Where else is this girl going to get her story out?
Well,
he has money and lawyers that will make that just go away no matter what. So I guess they might as well put it on Twitter.
You know what, Trudy? You're probably right. And this is why, you know, when it comes to the police topic and the Epstein topic and R. Kelly and Justin Bieber, the justice system is just a joke. To me, it's a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, and now we have... all of the pressure the world can bear on this guy, this cop in Atlanta, who did something incredibly reckless and stupid and killed a man. And, you know, 11 counts of murder, the death penalty.
Well, it's still got to be proven.
Yeah, but how often do we put someone like that up for the death penalty?
Usually it's a pretty big deal.
Somebody's suggesting today, by the way, that the police...
But I guess the good thing is that... it's not just, okay, we're going to find a way to find you guilty then. I mean, he does still have...
Yeah, due process.
Ability to put up a defense. Yeah.
Well, I think he'll be a little overmatched, but we'll see. I bet you. Is there a GoFundMe for his defense? I bet you there is.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I wonder if they'll turn it down.
Well, there's the entire union that's behind him as well. So.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny as I dig in, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it just seems like it just clocks up the show. But the more I dig into this topic, the more it is it's a very, very complicated thing. And the union is a big part of it. And that's not saying unions are bad or that people shouldn't support each other. I mean, it's more of a, as far as traditional unions, I mean, cops, teachers, auto workers. I mean, those unions that I think there's a lot of sincerity there because they, you know, they want protection. They just want a job. They don't want to lose their job. They want some sort of recompense if they are, you know, somehow manufacturing just knocks them out of a job. I mean, there's a lot of protection there. So that's not bad. I don't have a complaint about that.
I'm torn on unions.
Well, I'm torn on them too. I mean, they can be good and they can be bad. This part.
Who are we to say which one's good and which one's bad?
I don't know why, and I won't break my promise. I don't know.
You got 20 seconds.
I'm reading about internal affairs, you know, and all this, how cops are judged and how these little incidents, you know, and how they can pile up and how they become more serious. And it's like, why isn't there a completely separate entity?
That doesn't.
It's completely separate. It seems so fucking obvious to me.
Yeah.
With people from all walks of life.
Did you watch 60 Minutes?
Put the fucking drug lords on it. Get them on there. Have them decide.
They'll figure it out after they kill a couple.
Did you watch?
Did you see 60 Minutes, the first story on 60 Minutes about the police chief from Minneapolis?
I couldn't watch it. I could not watch it.
So they are talking to him and they go through all the. There were like four other shootings in Minneapolis that besides the Australian lady and Philando Castile, they go through them all. And they talked to the police chief. He said that you know they go through internal affairs. They actually fire people, but because of the union, he's really mad at the union. This police chief, mm-hmm. You know, they're allowed their due process and their hearings. What percent of the policemen, the bad police that he has fired, are back on the job? Do you think?
I don't know.
Thanks to arbitration via the union.
I don't know if I want to know, but I'll guess 100%.
50%.
50%? It's still too many.
So you fire a bad cop to get rid of him, and half of them come back?
And you have to reinstate him. And here we are.
That just seems wrong.
Here we are in 2020, and this is still going on. And we've been, cities have been burned down. All these things have happened. And yet still, this part of the system that's where it gets fucked up, and we still have it, and nobody's done anything, because you can't stop a union.
Yeah.
They're doing their job. They're getting these guys their jobs back. So they're doing their job, just like a lot of other people do their job. And we don't like the result of their job, but you can't say that Alan Dershowitz isn't a fantastic attorney. But I'm not very happy that he fucking unleashed this pedophile, this world champion pedophile on the world again while he was being punished.
It's fun seeing Alan Dershowitz on the Roy Cohen
I saw that.
Documentary, which is a fantastic documentary.
I
didn't know much about him. I knew very little about Roy Cohen.
Oh wow!
And he's
pretty fascinating character.
Such an asshole.
And also he is the pre-Trump Trump. He is, and he advised Trump.
Yeah.
He said, "Fight back against everything.
Yeah.
Fight." And this guy,
matter what it is,
he was probably a bigger fighter than Trump because he didn't pay income tax. He was a hot shit lawyer. I mean, one of the best. He prosecuted the Rosenbergs for giving the bomb to Russia and got them executed.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
And most people believe that. Ethel had nothing to do with it. And what's the dad?
Julius.
Julius. He did pass something to the Russians, so.
There was something there, but I mean, his goal is to win. Yeah. I don't think he lost a minute of sleep.
He's McCarthy's chief counsel.
Yeah, and he was extremely aggressive as McCarthy's chief counsel.
He was also flamboyantly gay, but big friends with Nancy Reagan and those people, all the people who seemed diametrically opposed to people being gay.
If you were to ask his ghost today, he was not gay, Trudy.
Oh.
publicly.
Yeah, publicly, he was not gay. But he was so gay!
He fought against...
He was a world champion. He was world champion gay. I mean, he was gay as gay can be.
Yeah, I think John Waters, who's in the documentary, was kind of jealous about how gay he was. Trudy, he would throw a party. He moved to Provincetown, Massachusetts, like the gayest city, I think, on the East Coast. There. Really? Did you ever go to a party with Roy Cohn? So he would call up this place and make a reservation for 25 dudes to have a, you know, dinner and demand to see the place setting before they set up, which is kind of weird, kind of controlling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the lady said that he would bring candy dishes and put them on the table just full of cocaine. And then there was a sedative he would place next to each plate.
Two and all. Yeah, in case you got too jittery.
Oh, my God. Ain't no party like a Roy Cohn party.
I know. I was kind of impressed, actually.
Well, his attention to detail is fantastic, but still. And he just walked around Provincetown. I mean, it could never happen today because everybody would have a camera and say, hey, look, it's Roy Cohn.
So Roy Cohn.
A bunch of dudes.
Who is one of the most famous, winningest lawyers you could ever imagine, and powerful, a power broker. He knew everyone everywhere, presidents on down. Mm-hmm. He knew the Studio 54 people. He knew entertainment people. He knew George Steinbrenner.
He had his own key to Studio 54.
Of course he did. That's what they said. No, he was one of those incredible people who gets stuff done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might not be stuff we want. He represented mob guys. He got mob guys off. He won. He always won. So Roy Cohn has a thing with the IRS. He thinks they're bullshit and taxes are bullshit. So they pointed out that why is his name not on the masthead at the law firm? He's got to be a partner. He's Roy Cohn, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I paid my taxes over a year ago.
Roy Cohn didn't want to be liable as a partner if someone sued the law firm. And Roy Cohn, his place, which is incredible, this big stately brownstone in New York with four stories, I think.
I don't know how tall it was.
Sun deck. Oh, he was always very tan. Roy Cohn was always very tan, and he had sun deck. He would take customers on the sun deck while he was in his bikini briefs.
There were interviews with I don't know who were doing the interviews, but they were. So do you have AIDS? Larry King. It was Larry King.
So you got AIDS.
He's like, no. What are you talking about, Larry? I have liver cancer. Kind of looks like you got AIDS, Roy.
How the AIDS going,
Larry?
I don't have AIDS, Larry. I don't have AIDS. I don't know.
Those Roy, lesions. It looks like you lost 40 pounds. What is it? AIDS or some great weight loss program you're on? What's your secret? Is it AIDS or is it some kind of special program?
Your mouth's saying liver cancer. Those eyes are saying AIDS. It was really weird watching
it to Larry King to just lay it out there.
Well, I kind of appreciate it, right?
I know. It was Mike a good question.
Mike Wallace asked him, and he's like, no, it's liver cancer. And they just moved on. But Larry just kept digging in.
That's a lot of weight, Roy. Who else is on this program? Because if I see a picture of all the people trying to lose weight and another picture with all the people with AIDS, I think you belong in a picture with all the people that got AIDS.
There's a great picture in the documentary. It's Ronald Reagan shaking the hand of this guy, and Nancy's next, and they're real smiling bigly, and in the foreground's Roy looking at him, and they're shaking the hand of Roy's boyfriend, who's very tall, blonde, blue-eyed.
Very young.
Oh, wow.
Very, very young.
Ronald Reagan!
And a male model.
He's very attractive.
He got the job as a male model because Roy knew the Estee Lauder family, and they made him the face of
someone. He knew everyone.
So weird.
No, he's incredible. Power. He knew Steinbrenner. His buddies with Steinbrenner.
You talk about the legal system and power, it's Roy Cohn, man.
So Roy Cohn, you know, now as you get all these mafia people off, but he also gets himself off because he doesn't have any assets. He doesn't have a bank account. He doesn't have a checking account. He has nothing. His home, this beautiful four-story place, is owned by the law firm. I don't know how he had Rolls Royces. Who owned the Rolls Royces? How did that work? He didn't have any accounts the IRS could take money from.
There was a lot of accusations of money laundering through that handsome boyfriend. It was Australian. A lot of wire transfers and money moving all over the place.
Oh. Very complicated. But the whole taxes thing. And then they had this stack of documents like this. People constantly sending letters. Dear Roy Cohn, you know, you stayed at our, you know, fancy schmancy hotel for six nights in, you know, 2 months ago, and we weren't paid the outstanding balance of $1,150. And Roy would have written notes onto his assistant of don't pay, don't have to pay, call, tell him we're not paying. He just ignored bills.
Your money's
just
not ignored to Trump I'm done with you.
Yes, that was, he knew that people would either settle or they would just blow it off.
Yep.
So, I mean, the fact that all this stuff was still around was amazing.
Yeah.
But it,
wait, did he teach Aretha that as well?
I don't think he completed the course.
Yeah.
I don't think he completed it.
Because of his liver cancer. I mean, AIDS.
What a, I mean, but I have to admit, I was fascinated by him.
Well, and, just the power is fascinating.
Well, yeah, and just the way he connected with all these people because, you know, I think, you know, I watched this Richard Gere movie the other night, and, you know, he's going to this dinner party and that party and this party. I'm thinking, you know, how did I get to be so unsocial? I never go to anything like that. And I don't really want to go to anything like that, but why don't I go to anything like that? And then Roy Cohn, he's here, he's there, he's everywhere with bowls of cocaine and two-and-alls. And, you know, I'm thinking, I never go anywhere like that. Why can't, I could go to stuff like that.
Some bowls
stuff,
of cocaine. I
not
guess
to Roy Cohn's
going.
Party, but I could be going to somebody's party. Why don't I go? What's the matter with me?
Didn't Larry go, aren't you on a trial for AZT? He was that girl on the AZT. No, what are you talking about? No, I ain't trial for AZT.
That AZT trial, is that potty of weight loss?
That's for AIDS, right? Which you have, Roy.
I never heard of no AZT weight loss program. I know you're in the AZT trial.
So weird. They used to...
Larry's just a bull in a china shop when it comes to AIDS. Larry, you know, for all the sensitivities, for some reason he was completely insensitive about AIDS. When you say I got AIDS, that mean you're taking the breath mint or you got the AIDS, the weight loss dye thing?
I'd like to bring in my next guest, Ryan White. So how'd you get your AIDS?
No, Larry.
Gay sex and
Ryan,
needles,
why are these people picking on you? Don't tell me it's the AIDS thing.
What an asshole.
No, he's...
Oh, my God.
But Roy Cohn's a big guy. He's a strong guy.
Well, I think that's actually why Larry pushed back, because Roy was pushing back.
I was watching the... I was just reading an article. Roy Cohn... And by the way, one more thing. Do you know what Roy Cohn looks like?
No.
Well, I do, because I saw the doc.
Google him. He is the scariest looking motherfucker. He should have run a mob family. Doesn't he look like he could run a mob family?
He does look very
mobby.
He
is scary looking.
Yeah. He's very mobby.
I mean, just something bizarre about his face. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but oh my God, he just freaks me out.
Those the hearings they would show when McCarthy went after the army, which the documentary claimed they went after the army because Roy Cohn wanted his boyfriend back. That was basically,
I think there's a lot to that. I mean, it's been written about a lot.
Yeah, because his boyfriend.
Yeah, so he essentially sued the U.S. Army because he wanted his boyfriend to come home
after they went.
And this is when he's like 26 years old. He got the Rosenbergs executed.
It's a Cosmo.
Wasn't he 25 when that happened?
I think he was younger. I think he was
23. 24. 22?
He was very, very young.
He finished college at 19, and he's a brilliant guy.
Very brilliant, yeah.
Is that a picture of him with a headdress and his boyfriend who's dressed up like a Roman Praetorian?
What? Are they at Studio 54? It could very well be, Roy.
Are they in Provincetown?
Roy, it is okay to Studio 54, as Spark pointed out earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of blue eyeshadow on the back, so it's the 70s for sure.
There's a really funny part in the documentary. He ended up screwing over this guy. They went into business to open up, what was it called, Big Gay Jim or something?
Wasn't that his model friend, boyfriend?
No, it was an escort he picked up once.
Oh, I thought they went on to be boyfriend.
Do you want to play part of it?
It's pretty amazing. Okay, yeah, because this guy... And you know,
this guy's scarier looking than Roy Cohn.
He's really freaky.
Look up Richard DuPont if you can find that guy.
Just put Richard DuPont, Roy Cohn when you Google it. Reading about Roy Cohn's last year and his nephew, who knew Roy his entire life, and his father was Roy's brother or cousin, brother, cousin. I can't remember which. Anyway, the families were very close, and they were strange. Roy and his father were strange for 20 years or something. But the nephew had always stayed in touch with him. And when Roy was rumored to have AIDS, and he thought he did, and he knew he was gay, he asked Roy if he could cover him you know, for a big piece.
AIDS!
And he, without saying it, he said, hey, can I kind of hang out with you until you die so I can write a story about your last days? And Roy was very much about documenting everything. And Roy had very explicit instructions about who was to come to his funeral, who was not to come, how it was to be decorated. I mean, all this crazy stuff. But
control freak.
Roy would have these events, you know, like his annual New Year's Eve party. And it's this blowout, and Roy's really sick. And for some reason, he summons all this energy up, and he's having a good time. And it was like, well, Roy seems to be doing better. And he's like, and we will have this party next year and the next year. And he's really, it's like he's telling death, fuck you. And there are other events like that that he's at. And people are, you know, famous people are there. Warhol, all these big shot New Yorkers. And some of them are literally, you know, their eyes are tearing up because they don't think they're ever going to see him again. Because he's...
Oh, this is his way of keeping the party going.
But it was really, light. It was really, really sad.
The worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here. And I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see him again.
Yeah, Roy never needed two giant safety pins and a diaper.
No.
Tough motherfucker,
he
man.
He never cried.
How old was he when he died? Was he... It would have been 60-something, I think. Early 60s?
59.
I think that guy got a lot of years worth in his 59 years.
Yeah, a lot, yes. lot of living. All right, here's the story of the one guy who took him on.
2 years ago, Richard DuPont had this idea. He would open a health club in the West Village for gays. He took over...
Did you see a picture of Richard DuPont yet? Trudy?
Brandon, yeah, isn't he a twin?
Of who?
Well, you're not looking up the DuPont family from Delaware,
like
are
John
you?
John DuPont?
Oh, no, not him.
I mean, this is just some disparate DuPont guy.
It was like
DuPont
Richard DuPont from Studio 54.
He seems,
it might be.
I can't understand how Roy Code, who portrays himself as completely straight, swears he's not gay, and yet he seems to like the twinkiest guys. Doesn't
I think,
he?
Yeah. I think Brandon would appreciate that, his bone structure.
That looks like Art Garfunkel a little bit.
He likes the most effeminate guys. And it's like, yeah, I'm not gay. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Hey, here's my friend Joe. You know, and here's Joe is like the gayest looking guy ever. I mean, just extremely gay with all the affectations. And he's, you know, yeah, Joe and I were, we spent the weekend in Provincetown. And it's weird. I'm not gay, though.
Just a couple guys hanging out. Just a man and his assistant. A lot of them were always his assistant. By the way, it's called Bully Coward Victim. It's on HBO.
Oh, yeah, he would open a
health club. Went on vacation with Hoover and Clyde Tolson and my buddy Joe here.
Abandoned six-story warehouse on Greenwich Street near Barrow and spent the next year and almost $1 million renovating it.
What I think most people are afraid of is the very fact is they may see homosexual people as real people, as people who aren't deviants and perverts.
That's Richard DuPont.
Richard DuPont had originally met Roy.
That is the smallest speedo I've ever seen in my life.
He turned a trick for Roy as a gay prostitute. Richard DuPont was a grifter, a guy who lived on his wits.
But it's very handsome.
Such people could be useful to Roy Cohn.
Because he's handsome.
This is Richard DuPont calling the DA, the district attorney.
Hello. Yes, hello. My name is Richard DuPont. All right, it's very simple, Mr. Carley. Mr. Cohn was my part in a health club. And unfortunately, Roy sold me about for $500,000. Whatever legal procedures I can go after Mr. Cohn, I will do it.
And the guy decided to wreak revenge, and he got to Roy like no one else got to Roy ever.
Claimed Roy ripped him off.
Hey, we called the
he sold about for $500,000.
This is Roy Cohn calling, and
this is Richard's
attorney. Reservation for billions. 2 o'clock to Texas, cancel it. So Roy Cohn would show up at the airport with his bags, and his reservation had been canceled.
By Richard DuPont.
At the Ford shareholders meeting, a woman came with a delivery of flowers for him, and the flowers were wilted. There was a note with the flowers saying, Roy Cohn can lick anyone. I believe that was a double entendre.
You think?
One morning, where Roy's office was, on East 68th Street, for the whole block, every 5 feet, there was a stenciled message. Roy Cohn is a fag.
He painted
Roy
it on the
was
sidewalk.
Going crazy.
I mean, this is the devil visiting the devil, as it were.
This is when you can't be gay.
This is Roy Cohen calling Richard.
Roy Cohen.
Yes, sir, how are you?
Richard, when is this going to stop?
When is what going to stop now?
I don't know where to start. I don't know what you want of me. And I don't know how much of this you expect me to take. You call up the Greenwich Police
Roy's claiming that Richard called up the Greenwich Police Department when Roy was having a party, saying that people had been shot up there, and then he called the fire department and said there was a fire at the address.
What do you mean, Army?
You just said, I called the police department on you. That's exactly what you said.
Okay, now let's take out the seat to put some magic in the words on you. I know you called the police.
I don't do. I did not call the police. I don't play with dynamite. And that's dynamite.
He likes
I would
dynamite.
Just urge you and implore you to please stop.
I like the word dynamite.
I'm surprised he didn't have him killed, but maybe it was too obvious.
He couldn't scare him off. And DuPont just kept going.
Boy, nobody throws a parade like gays. Nobody!
No, they are really happy, even back then, when they're...
But they're fun to watch.
On Gay Pride
I mean
Day,
the parade.
There was a publication of a magazine called Now East, which contained all of DuPont's fantasies about Roy Cohen.
God. Yeah, boy.
Just a ton of political cartoons about Roy Cohen
it's
being
obvious
gay.
That you are out to do in Roy.
Is there a glory hole for Steve Rubell?
Do you think that you'll outlast Roy?
Oh, God.
The Roy, your morning issue. Douche is ready.
The second issue is going to do
another cartoon. And the third issue.
And the third issue? There's a third one coming, too?
Yes, there'll be every issue.
I mean, how long is this magazine going to go on? I mean, people eventually may become bored with Roy Cohen.
I don't know whether they become bored with Roy Cohen or not. I really don't know, Peter.
These would be distributed.
Pause for a second. Left in restaurants?
I love the cartoon. It's army exams, and there's all these nude men lined up, and there's a guy behind a desk, and then Roy's standing behind the desk with a tape measure.
So any predictions how this is going to end, Trudy or Brandon?
DuPont?
Yeah, you have a very powerful man who doesn't like what this, you know, smaller guy is
Roy
doing to him.
Does Roy die his way out of it?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Roy Coder.
Brandon, do you have a guess?
Sorry, he's so sour grapes about this.
Do you have a guess how it's going to end for Richard?
While you're thinking, there was another
they
cover.
They fall in love.
They get married.
There was another,
that was what my guess was going to be.
There was another cover of the magazine that said, Roy Cohen, attorney, statesman, fairy.
Hi, Richard.
I mean, this is a cover of a magazine.
Well, Roy's got a lot of power, so he's going to call some of his powerful friends.
He is the object of a lot of attention from the Manhattan District Attorney.
This is Richard DuPont. He was arrested in what his lawyer described as a pre-dawn raid in which four detectives came crashing into his apartment.
I received information from my client that he had learned from associates of Mr. Cohen that he was to be indicted on Friday.
Does that look like the guy in Donahue? Just a little bit.
We hear it because of Now East baloney.
I mean,
we're here because Richard had the temerity to ignore that warning and mess with Roy Cohen.
I think that this is Roy's chance
maybe
to go after
she went in.
No one else has ever done these things with Roy, no matter who they are.
And want to lay a couple of guys.
He was acquitted the first two counts, but he was convicted of four or five misdemeanors. Misdemeanor clients don't go to penitentiaries. And I felt at the time, given who he was dealing with, virtual member of organized crime or their attorney, Roy Cohen, that Richard wouldn't have lasted in a penitentiary.
And Richard DuPont, as I recall, served 18 months in state prison for fucking with Roy Cohen. Don't mess with Roy Cohen. Moral
of
the story.
I don't know, you know. It happens.
Isn't that crazy?
It happens.
Wow. Jeez.
Well, you know, calling the cops and saying there's a stabbing Roy's party. Yeah. A lot of shit can happen. He calls a fire.
Before misdemeanors?
Yeah, I would not think you'd get 18 months in prison.
That's incredible.
In a way, I wish people would get 18 months in prison. I mean, some of this shit people are doing now. Yeah, that's a hell of a documentary. I haven't seen the whole thing.
It's really good.
Yeah, but I was paying a lot of attention, put it that way. The ESPYs were last night.
Oh, no.
Why?
Exactly.
Why was that necessary?
I don't know why they're necessary any year, but especially this year.
The ESPYs It's one of those award shows that, how long has it been around? 15 years? 10 years?
A long time, yeah.
But when it started, it was like, oh, I got to watch this. Look at all the people at the ESPY. Oh, my God. You know, everyone's there. And they always make sure that all the big, big, big people are nominated for something, mm-hmm. even if they make up a category like LeBron, the Great Play of the Year. And so eventually, after seeing the ESPYs a few times, I felt like this is such an up with people event. It's annoying to me.
Well, I didn't understand giving awards for people that the whole point of what they do is to win an award at the end. I mean, you know who the best basketball team is because they won the championship, or who the MVP is because they get the MVP of the league. I don't understand what is an ESPY. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. And then
they play Caitlin games.
Caitlin win one?
Yeah, well, yeah, the Arthur Ashe Award.
And, what for?
Being brave.
Because Caitlin was no longer Bruce Jenner.
Well, that's why
a lot of people
she won the Arthur Ashe Award. Yeah. But it was like, what? And I find myself saying a lot during the ESPYs. And also, it's sort of this, we're so wonderful and we want all the right things. And you know, the first, I don't know how long Russell Wilson was talking, but it opens up with Russell Wilson talking about Black Lives Matter. And it went on long enough that I forgot what I was watching. I swear to God, I was like, what am I watching again? What's he talking about? And it was it an endless barrage of that stuff?
It was
it
was a lecture,
right?
Of things that I feel,
like. It's like the athletic people.
I already know about.
It's the athletic people acting like Hollywood.
Yes,
and I can't get used to that. And I kind of feel bad.
I don't care, but they're not saying anything that we don't know or most people know or feel.
Well, it gets wearying, and also, I think I get angry because
it's pandering. It's clear pandering.
Yeah, it's not real. And athletes, I think the male athletes, for example, when it comes to the WNBA and the Olympic teams and the soccer team, and Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird, her wife, mm-hmm. were the hosts, mm-hmm. which they've got to be two of the best known people in the entire sports world. And they give away a lot of awards to women athletes, and they try to be, you know, 50-50, I suppose, or something close. And they, you know, they make so many virtuous speeches and virtuous production pieces.
Virtue signaling.
It reminds me a little bit of the Olympics when, you know, look at what all these people overcame. And you know they're just, they don't want to do anything on anyone who hasn't overcome something. If they haven't overcome anything, they'll make them overcome something. And it's just, it's like you're just being spoon-fed this big pile of bullshit. And I think they almost take away from the message, which is a good message. Mm-hmm. And my fear is that what is going to happen is, and it may already be happening, is when you start cramming something down people's throats that they should already fucking know, by the way, and it goes on and on and on, that a lot of people just go, oh, I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. I don't care what they're saying. I don't want to hear another word about it. And they just get tired of it, and almost it maybe has a negative effect because it's so lectury and so it's just never ending.
How many people do you think turned it on, saw that Megan Rapinoe was hosting, and immediately turned it off?
I don't know.
I think people know the ESPYs.
You know, yeah, you know, I, that's kind of. I think
do you check
you would
the ratings? I wonder how many people watch the
or ESPYs. ESPN, as it's known in the biz.
Because you could not get more star power together. You couldn't, and it should have a huge audience. It really should, based on all the people they have there. You know, the other thing that bothered me is I'm watching all these wonderful people who want all these wonderful things, and that whole Mitch Albomy thing.
Yeah.
Like, make it Mitch Albomy. And then I start thinking about some of the things that they never talk about, that nobody ever comes out. I mean, they have a thin blue line too, but it's a thin football line, or it's a thin basketball line, where Kareem Hunt. You know, the guy that said, I didn't assault that girl. She called me the N-word, and we kicked her out of the room. Mm. And 9 months go by, and oh, there's a videotape. Oh, what are we shoving that girl? Oh, my God, he kicked her on the floor. And it's like, he's a horrible fucking asshole.
A famous video.
And she had said that when they wouldn't sleep with these guys, when they just wouldn't just lay down on them, they just turned on them, and they threw them out. And then, you know, you saw what happened in the hallway. Does anybody remember any athletes saying, Kareem Hunt, that is the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't even want to play with him.
No.
No, it's all about, well, he's learning, and next thing you know, Cleveland signs him. And nobody really complains. Pac-Man Jones, LT, I mean, the list goes on of all these people who have done some pretty bad stuff. Michael Vick.
Well, Vick's pretty hated.
Ryan Leaf. It's a lot, and no one cares. In fact, they find ways to keep them playing. Who was the guy that assaulted the shit out of that chick? And the Cowboys signed him?
Yeah.
The only one that really got reaction where other people said, oh, Mixon? That's terrible.
No, it wasn't Greg Joe Mixon. Hardy. Greg Hardy.
Oh, Mixon. That's
Greg
a good
Hardy's,
one, Trudy.
Yeah,
punched a woman. Punched her hard. And yeah. I don't remember a lot of athletes saying, I remember hearing about it, he deserves a second chance.
Well, no, you heard that from one person. Okay, second down and nine.
I don't know. It just,
he believes in second chances, man.
When you make a good message wearying, I think that's a shame. And I feel that on behalf of other people. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are enjoying all this and they can't get enough. But I think it gets a little much.
Here's a story about how social media received the ESPYs last night. This is going to be the worst ESPYs of all time. Yes, worse than Caitlyn Jenner getting a Courage Award, one fan wrote. Do Black Lives Matter to you when they're not throwing touchdowns or shooting free throws?
What?
I don't know. I don't think anybody's watching the ESPYs. Another person tweeted. There's some people that took a little exception, which I think you were saying this too, using Jackie Robinson and the kind of what he and Bill Russell and what they went through.
I don't know how anyone can throw Jackie Robinson up on the screen and suggest that anyone now in the sports world is enduring what he endured, because they're not.
Here's a great one. At ESPN, if you don't support paying college student athletes, then you're the problem. Which, that is kind of the, you know, the elephant in the room. There's free labor going on in college athletics, and is ESPN pushing for that to change?
I got to tell you, when I was reading about the University of Florida and Gator Bait.
I'm first talking about the athletes not getting paid.
Well, no, I'm getting there.
I'm talking about equality.
The Gator Bait story, you know, the white supremacists getting, somehow I guess they just steal black babies to draw.
Yeah, it's true.
Alligators. Is it really true? I mean, yeah, do you really know that happened?
Brandon, you and I did a deep dive.
What'd you find
it?
Out?
That it happened.
I mean, so they
I don't
they
know the circumstances of how the children were rounded
did they kidnap
up or
the
if
kids?
They were given away or purchased or I don't
how
know
many?
What was.
I assume they were slave plantation slave children.
In 1900?
Oh, was that how recent it was?
I thought that was when the account was from 1906 or something.
I'll look it up again.
Anyway, I mean, it's over. They're going to be told not to chant Gator Bait.
They still will.
And I don't know if they will or not. But anyway, the other part of that story was that they would no longer accept the free labor of the people in prison at the penitentiary there, which had saved them a lot of money. And the reason was because it's slavery. And I thought, well, but they cost a lot of money to be incarcerated. They've committed a heavy crime. That's not the same thing. But apparently the fact that they were doing agricultural work sometimes felt, it's just too close to slavery. So they said they're not going to use, and I quote, slave labor anymore. They called it inmate labor, but everyone else was calling it slave labor who was against it. Now, what would we have inmates doing? I mean, isn't it good when they work?
So
should they just pay them and put it in an account? I mean, these guys they like to buy stuff at the stores in there. What's wrong with paying them?
Well, so what they
usually do laundry, don't they?
I think your misconception with Gator Bait is that the baby's killed.
Oh. Well, so they borrow black babies?
The New York Zoo did it. And that's how they would get animals to their enclosures. They would get out there, kids.
I have to ask a really stupid question.
In Florida, they would do it, and then they would sit with the rifles and the shotguns to kill the alligators.
I have to ask a really stupid question. Do gators like black babies as opposed to white babies, or do they just not want to put white babies at risk because they're racist?
Alligator hunters would sit crying black babies who were too young to walk at the water's edge with a rope around their necks and waist. The babies would splash and cry until a crocodile snapped at one of them. The hunters would then kill the alligator only after the baby was in its jaws.
Fuck.
Well, you know.
From a Miami New Times article.
I'm just going to assume because it's so horrible that obviously they just didn't want to risk white babies because of white supremacists. But that's quite a story. I mean, I would have never known this.
Lots of examples.
I wonder how many people chanting that are aware of that. And I wonder how many people have actually heard the Gator Bait chant and been terribly triggered.
No, very few.
Sometimes it seems like we're trying to trigger people. But anyway, the slave labor with the inmates, those people who committed crimes, bad crimes, and they're in prison, and they're it costs a lot of money to incarcerate them. You should see the budget for the various states and how much money they spend imprisoning people. It's insane. It's so expensive. And I don't know why the fuck it's so expensive. But anyway, so you've got all these college athletes, football players specifically, making all the money to run all the sports for free because the athletes are unpaid. How are inmates doing free labor? How is that worse than these college athletes who draw hundreds of thousands of people to games?
Start paying them.
And no one, I really don't hear much in the way of people getting really angry about this. I hear people arguing about it, but.
Yeah, it's a little hypocritical, the University of Florida.
And, as far as that goes, too, we've got all these college football players. These teams are practicing, and they're getting COVID like crazy, and they're still practicing. Mm-hmm. So, how are we so worried about COVID-19? If we're so worried, why are student athletes who are unpaid practicing football, which they don't need to do?
I don't know.
Why? I just saw MSU's going back to school in the fall, and there's going to be students on campus. And they said, we know it's dangerous, but we think the risk is worth it. The risk is worth it. Why? Because they're paying tuition and you need the money? Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, it's all about money.
So we're weighing money versus risk, which we never did before. We just said, everybody stay home! Now we're, it's funny how people you would think.
There's no way sports is getting played. There's just
Then why don't they stop practicing? What are they doing? They're getting
too much money involved.
30 LSU players have COVID-19.
Although there's part of me that wants to see what happens because, are these people going to be quarantined? So are you going to have, a quarter of your roster, is that going to be on the injury report? Like, all these players are quarantined today, and then, one school who just refuses to report it or quarantine them is going to be like, we got like two, and then they're going to win the national championship.
Yeah, and their best running back can't play. Are they going to tell the world that they have COVID? No, they're going to let a bunch of the defensive players tackle him, get COVID.
Get COVID.
How could you spread COVID more than tackling other people and sweating on them and spitting on them? And how could you? It's almost like it seems designed to spread COVID-19. We've come up with this game that will spread any influenza.
I don't know. There's just no way. There's no way. You know what's funny? Baseball's going to play.
COVID-19.
If the NBA can't figure it out with only 12 players on a team or 12 to 15 plus all the, you got to figure that's probably the smallest group of professional sport. The NBA, if they can't figure it out, how are these bigger ones going to figure it out?
Well, I was laughing because
live in a bubble.
I was reading about, we got to get this started. NBA's going to probably start in July. We're going to have this bubble in Orlando. And then as it got closer, it was like, they're not going to be a bubble because you can't make those guys go in a bubble. They're really independent athletes and, they got families and stuff.
This year.
What? They're not going to be in a bubble. Well, then those guys sweat all over each other. They have incredible amounts of contact. What the? Are you kidding me?
I don't know what they're thinking.
Well,
what they're thinking. They want their money.
I think I know what they're thinking. They're thinking the money is too important. Mm-hmm. We're going to wipe out college. We're going to wipe out college sports. And they're young and they're healthy, so they're not going
to
die.
But here's the weird thing. So, and I know you guys hate the word soccer.
Your mom goes to college.
But Germany has restarted. The Premier League just restarted in Britain. And they've had... Either they're lying or they've had just a small amount of COVID cases. So what are they doing?
Soccer doesn't have as much contact, though. Are they in a bubble?
Yeah. It's outside.
Yeah, it is. But so is football.
Boring.
They're tackling each other, though. They're close.
Why are there 9 cases in the Phillies? What is going on with that, where in England you have a handful of...
Maybe they're a big old orgy together later on. Maybe it's something outside of practice.
I don't know the answer.
Well, you're spending a lot of days in a row with a bunch of people. Well, the close contact.
The
with
only
them.
The only thing I can think of is that there's unions with these sports teams here. So, is there something to the effect where they don't have to play, so they will be extra safe? Where over there, maybe they have to do whatever the team wants to do, or else they're not going to get paid.
I think they love soccer over there, and they want soccer. And so maybe guys are getting COVID, and they're not telling anybody because they want to fucking play soccer.
That's possible.
Because these guys are great athletes, especially soccer players. Those guys are in phenomenal shape.
Why is soccer so stupid?
There's no 300-pound lineman in soccer who would be... I mean, a 300-pound lineman might be a health risk for COVID. But not soccer players.
Well, okay, so there's the real thing. Because most of us feel like these players aren't going to die from this.
They probably won't. They're young.
What happens when the 300-pound defensive tackle does die from it?
You probably will get one guy will get COVID and die.
So then what happens? Does it all get shut down again? Because it started with Rudy Gobert.
Nope, because guys have died training for football because they train the shit out of you. Corey Stringer.
The Vikings, yeah.
Oh. I've used his name.
There's a handful.
I've used his name as a verb, by the way.
Stringered?
I told Matt I was Corey Stringered out to continue working out.
Hey, by the way, you can work out on Thursday,
too
Drew.
Too soon.
I know, I'm going to.
It's too soon.
Gym's back open.
I think I'm going to work out Thursday because my back doesn't hurt anymore. I haven't worked out in forever. I'm feeling fat fucky. So I think I actually kind of psyched to do it. They took it away from me and I want it.
That dude's dying ASAP.
Paul was at the radio station today, and we went down. He showed me the leg lift machine.
Paul Glantz of Imagine.
No, I love Paul Glantz too, Brandon. I share your man love of Paul Glantz. He's a great guy. No, Corvino.
Mm. So what, Paul? Corvino,
To actually say I went to the gym.
does Paul do a lot of leg lifting?
Mm. Yeah.
Whatever he's doing is pretty good because he looks a lot younger than he is.
He's very fit, yes.
I think he's got a younger girlfriend.
Yeah.
He does. She's a very sweet person.
Very cute, too. Nice. Notice that she's quite attractive.
I know. If I had a pussy.
What a shock.
I'm not playing that for Paul. Stop it.
Hey, I'm envious of him. Mm-hmm. He's got it going on. He's running iHeart, too.
And he goes to Burning Man every year, except this year he's pretty bummed out that Burning Man is called on.
He goes to Burning Man every year?
He told me he goes to Burning Man and that he and Elon Musk made a car there. Holy crap.
I think he's the real McCoy.
I believe.
You know what I wondered about college? We probably want to get going here in a second, but it seems like the whole business of college and the complaints that it's so expensive and you have to go, so you run up these giant debts. Brandon will agree with me. Mm-hmm. And you have to run up these giant debts because everybody else has a degree, so you got to have a degree. And if you don't have a degree, you can't get this job, that job. So is it possible, I don't know, this might be a stretch, because African-American men, 17% graduate from college. Is it racist to say you have to have a degree to get a job?
What do you mean?
Is it unfair to say that you have to have a degree, something that costs you miles of debt, or you can't do it because it's just not your thing, or it's just too expensive? Is it fair to force people to have a college degree to get all? No, there's a million jobs that have nothing to do with a college degree, but they just say, you have to have a college degree.
Well, I think
it's just as honorable to have a trade.
Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is instead of having to stand, you know, like, for example.
I know what you mean, Drew.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, there's a million, and I went through this the first round when I lost my gig, and I was searching high and low, and I want to say probably upwards of 500 applications. You only hear back from maybe 30 of those 500. Of those 30, you get kicked out of 20 because you're not maybe qualified. Of those 10, it keeps wandering down and down and down and down. But there are so many that refuse to even accept your resume unless you have a college education.
Yeah, but why is that racist?
I see what Drew's talking about.
Isn't it a privilege? Isn't it a privilege that wealthy people have? And if you're not wealthy, then it's not a privilege, and you put yourself in all this debt. So therefore, isn't it kind of a privilege thing? And all these family members, grandpa and son and grandson and his grandson and his son.
Student loans are supposed to alleviate that.
You choose to go to school. You don't choose to be white or black. You have
a lot of white people choose to go to school, and a lot of white people get ahead economically, and a lot of black people don't get ahead economically. and they have to run up debt to go, or they don't go because it's too expensive. I'm not trying to campaign for this. I was expecting this. I was expecting that to be, hey, because, you know, people are pointing out all things that have privilege attached to them. And college is certainly.
Oh, I don't think that's.
Education is a very big determiner. Nothing determines income more than education. Nothing.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't doubt that.
So.
I think it's the opportunity is what the what people are looking for. The opportunity to have that education.
But how many people's education actually impacts the job that they have? I mean, it seems like a snob thing. The more I think about it, I think, well, I know a million people who are doing nothing compared to what they learned in college, or they have a liberal arts degree, and yet they're doing this, and they're making good money because they have a degree. Because you can't even get out the door. You can't get your foot in the door without a degree. So,
But then you'll see plenty of studies that show black people that do have a degree with a resume that has a different name, and they don't get chosen. I mean, so I don't.
Black people with college can make more money than black people without college.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the point? So it's racist to say to want I own a business and it's racist for me to want a college degree. I don't care who the person is. I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care what gender they are. I don't care who they fuck at night. But if they have a college degree, yeah, I prefer that candidate over somebody else.
If it's systemic,
it's not
if
my
the business
problem.
Of making less money is systemic. But there's a lot of things like you can't vote if you're a felon. I mean, is that fair? A lot of people say that's not fair.
I don't think that's fair.
I don't really think voting is that big a fucking deal, honestly. Is that really a big punishment? Felons go, oh my God, I can't vote!
If you want the republic to fail, I guess it wouldn't be a big deal.
No, I think if you're talking about systemic injustice, the business of
forcing people to have... Is that a big deterrent, by the way, to... not commit a felony, like I'm going to lose my right to vote.
No, it's a zero deterrent.
No, so what's the fucking point?
I don't know. I don't even know what the point is. I mean,
laws affect felons and people in prison, you know, just as much as anybody else.
When I'm thinking about, you know, when people keep talking about the word systemic, I can't think of anything more systemic than forcing people to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on college to be eligible for all these jobs because it's not real. Because what you learn in college is not necessarily what you make money on.
I don't think anybody's forcing
it. It's the fact that you have a degree.
I think if you think there's a societal rule, that's fine.
No, I'm saying that people who are poor cannot afford college, or they have to go deep into debt to get a college degree. Well, that's all I'm saying.
That's why you see universities now have a progressive scale of tuition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, Michigan's done that. You haven't seen them where they are giving free tuition to certain income levels because of that.
I can
that
tell
fact.
You right now.
Oh, they get in free? I thought they had big college loans to pay off.
We've talked about
that.
The
last time I was in school, about, I would say, 9 out of every 10 students that my classmates were 100% free tuition. They had grants. And it, you know,
well,
anybody
then who are these
was
people
from
with
the
big
city
loans
of Detroit,
to pay off? If nobody has to pay, if college is free, then why are people bitching about it?
Well, somebody's paying for it. I just think that
exactly. Somebody's paying for it.
Those millennials.
Oh, boy.
Millennials are too stupid.
I'm just kidding, Brandon. I don't want to get mad. Yeah, free tuition to Michigan students for families earning 65 grand or less, slightly above the median household income of the state.
65 grand or less family two incomes? That's pretty low.
Slightly above the median household income of the state.
It's still people with lower incomes do not go to college as much as people with higher incomes. It's expected of you. You don't worry about the money. You don't even think about the money. Mm-hmm. And you also have to pay. You also have to you have expenses when you go to college, too.
Make people do it.
No, you can't make people do it. But what I'm saying is if you didn't have to have a degree to get a million jobs, then maybe those people would do better. That's all I'm saying.
When people try to pick out systemic things that are cheating people,
there's nothing more systemic than saying you have to have a college degree.
If you want to make businesses hire people based on what you think, that's fine.
No, it's not what I think. It's what I thought I would start hearing. It's what I thought I would start hearing. It's not what I think. But when I thought about it, it's kind of interesting. I thought it was because I was just looking at graduation rates for different groups of people, and black women are graduating college in huge numbers. Black men are not. But black men say, at least, I mean, this is not the deepest dive, but a lot of them are saying, without a college degree, I can't get any fucking jobs. And they're talking about, you know, making less and what do you have to do to make more? Well, you need a college degree to make more. But does a college degree make you better? I don't think so.
No.
In most cases. So isn't that unfair?
think so.
Sorry. Seems kind of shitty.
You don't have to. You
that
also
be the dissenting vote.
You don't have to go to college. You didn't have to buy a house they didn't want a when they wanted like one week's of income.
No, but it's a bit of a snob thing. Saying someone has to have a degree. You're saying that those people who have the opportunity.
When does the responsibility fall on the consumer? When does the I don't want to go.
I thought you'd be arguing my side of this, and I should be arguing your side.
Why?
Because I would think you would argue this side.
Why?
Because of the disparity in income.
Well, no, because it's about opportunity. The opportunities are there.
Oh, they are.
But why are you forcing a business? This is fun. I like this side of the argument.
This is kind of fun.
They're absolutely not equal. But why are you making a business? Why are you telling a business who they have to hire and who they don't have to hire?
Based on something that they can't control, like race and sexual orientation and gender. A lot of people feel they can't control having a college degree. It's too expensive.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Don't go then.
Easy for you to say.
Why? Because I have the privilege of going to college?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is easy for me to say then.
It is. It'd be easy for me to say too.
There's a lot of people who didn't go to college.
You know, a lot of people
that make a shitload more money than I do. Years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Yeah, because college doesn't make a big difference. It's not, in my opinion, it's not a big determinant as to whether you're a better employee or you're a better, smarter person.
But I think part of that reason is because What are the high income earning jobs that you have to have a degree for? Doctor,
everything,
engineer.
No, it's not salesman. Salesman.
I didn't say all of them.
There's a lot of jobs you have, Brandon. Where are you?
But the vast majority of them that make a lot of money do.
Why aren't you arguing with me? What's wrong with you? No.
What was I looking for, the outro?
How can you talk about being in debt all the time, being screwed, and then when I bring up a decent argument, and by the way, it's not really an argument. I'm not trying to make this happen.
It's fun. I just didn't like that. I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, I mean, honestly, the largest determinant of income is education.
Yeah, but those jobs, there's jobs that
okay,
are...
Okay, hit the outro! God.
There's jobs that are determined on that.
Outro's the egg timer.
You know, there's only 5 states where you can go be a lawyer without a degree.
Okay, let's leave the privilege in place. I'm okay with it. I'm not going to college. I'm done with college. So as long as I'm okay, everything's okay.
Doesn't anything cool ever happen here?
I haven't even made any payments in the last couple months because I don't know. I'm down to like $2,800 and I can finally be debt free of college loans. I can't wait. But I'm not making any payments because I have a feeling that they're going to, you know, give some relief upwards to $10,000. So I'm not going to pay it off if in the future they're going to just, you know, wipe it clean.
Demand arrears. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Good rest now.
Perfectly clear. What he did with that young lady was brutal, uncalled for. He's apologized. He was tearful. He got a second chance. He got a second chance from Bob Stoops. I happen to pull for people with second chances, okay? Let me make it absolutely clear. I hope he has a wonderful career and he teaches people with that brutal, violent video, okay? Second down and 9.